hey, you can turn Cleveland into Paris.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's Sunday, February 26, 2023. This is your award-winning Gitmo Nation Media Assassination, episode 1533.
This is No Agenda.
Shifting from Vlad to Xi, and broadcasting live from the heart of the Texas Hill Country here in FEMA Region Number 6. In the morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
I'm sorry.
And you're sorry, and I'm not.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
Are you still laughing about my joke? You're still laughing about that? That's by the way, for people who are on the pre-stream, that was a genuine John C. Dvorak laugh. Not often heard in the world. Yeah, pretty much, yeah. You want to do it over, or are you good with where we are?
No, I want to do it over.
Okay, all right, I'm ready.
Hit it.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's Sunday, February 26, 2023. This is your award-winning Gitmo Nation Media Assassination, episode 1533.
This is No Agenda.
Shifting from Vlad to Xi, and broadcasting live from the heart of the Texas Hill Country here in FEMA Region Number 6. In the morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And from northern Silicon Valley, where it's snowing everywhere, I'm John C. Dvorak.
Wait, it's actually snowing in California?
Oh, it's snowing quite a bit. It was a blizzard warning down in SoCal.
But I mean, it's snowing where you live?
Literally a blizzard warning.
Oh, what are we going to do?
First in 30 years.
Shut down the power. Shut it down.
Well, they haven't shut down the power.
They will. No, they will. So is it snowing where you are? Because that's pretty new.
A couple of days ago, some flakes may have fallen.
Oh.
There were some nice bolts of lightning, though. They were stunners. Mm. But the snow up in the Oakland Hills snowed in. The little model train they got up there all snowed in. Mount Tam snowed in.
Mm. Well,
my daughter came up with a good pronunciation for Mount Tamalpais.
Okay.
Mount Tamopolis. I think that's
Don't they call it Mount Tam? Is what everyone calls it? Or is that something
Mount
else?
Tam, yeah.
Yeah.
I like Mount Tamopolis.
Hmm. So this is clearly global warming?
Yeah. Just
want to make sure.
Record lows. Record low highs. In other words, the high temperature. Record for all time.
All time? Ever?
Yeah. Well, including the Paleolithic period, I think. Yeah. But in San Francisco, one example, record low of all time.
Well, please tell me.
Global warming.
Please tell me there's a report telling us that this is because of global warming. I need that report.
To be honest about it, I looked and looked and no one wanted to bring it up. I found it.
Oh no, you got one. Woo! Where is it?
And it didn't come from any of our sources. It came from Al Jazeera. This is California Cold Reverse, Al Jazeera.
Oops, sorry.
California is experiencing an unusually cold and wet winter with flooding and mudslides in a state long affected by drought and wildfires. People here say they've been warned to prepare for more extreme weather in the coming days.
I think that is one of the biggest concerns, is we are looking at a lot of rainfall, snow, the snow will melt, and the wind, and we worry about the mudslides and the flooding since we've had it twice already.
Experts say powerful winter storms mixed with spells of extreme heat and dry weather are symptoms of climate change.
Wait, who was it? Experts? I just want to hear who that was again. Let me make sure.
Experts say powerful winter storms.
Experts.
Storms mixed with spells.
Now, do you think they just add that at any report, or they call up an expert and say, "Hey, expert, 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 expert"? Tell me.
What do you think?
Yeah, well, it's AJ.
You know, the funny thing is nobody else did that. They didn't try to pull that because it would become, you know, what?
Yeah.
But Al Jazeera threw it in. So, yeah, you can see what they're all about.
I want to say a big in the morning to the former podfasters who are joining us today.
Tell me more.
The podfasters, people who have deliberately now stopped listening to podcasts at 1.5 or double speed. And the former podfasters, and I've gotten tremendous results have been reported. This is the one I love the most. Do you have your mic? I want to make sure you're holding on to it.
I've got a tight grip on it.
That's what it sounds like.
Also the mic.
Hey now. People are finding that they have more patience now with their children and spouse.
Oh, please.
This is the truth. I'm getting these messages saying, you know, I was always listening at 1.5 speed, and I always felt that normal conversation was like, get to the point. Come on, child, what's your problem about the homework? Come on, tell me.
Oh, yeah, because you can't get the kid to speak to 1.5.
No, and this is what it does to you. This is what
this
it
may
does.
Be. Mm-hmm. This may be an element of one of our producers, Cheryl, who sent in this following note.
Oh, okay.
Hi, gents. Thanks for the amygdala maintenance. I'm responding to a recent segment regarding listening speeds for podcasts.
Ooh, there you go.
I've stopped listening to most of the rage bait people. I like that term.
Yes.
I listen to you guys at normal speed because you both speak at a reasonable rate. But there are many people I listen to at 1.25 because they talk slow.
Some people talk slow.
1.5 is most often too fast for content absorption. We've pointed that out before. But good Lord, some people desperately need to pick up their pace. All caps. I don't need drama, but I do need people to get in the freaking point without droning.
Well, that's not a question of people not speaking fast. That's a question of a boring podcast. Drop it from your list.
And she signs off with a northern girl who talks fast and zones out when people talk slow.
Well, Roman sent me a note and reminded me that we have discussed this on episode 1200, which I really don't remember, but...
I do remember us talking about this before.
Well, and the interesting thing, Roman's note was in the show notes for episode 1200, and his point at the time was, this is book, The Mission, the Men, and Me, and in it, an army psychologist describes that the brain goes through three phases, saturation, incubation, and illumination when learning something new. And so he questioned if listening at a higher speed than natural could extend the phase of saturation and inhibits the transition to incubation and illumination, thereby slowing or stopping your ability to learn at all. And I think there's something to that.
Mm.
If anyone wants to reread it, I mean, the revolution is happening here. People are slowing down their podcasts, and we're leading the charge for some odd reason. And it's good. It's much better. I mean,
there's a lot of intonation stuff, especially when you're trying to do something that's light. Even though I don't know if news deconstruction is technically light, but if you're trying to do something light or lighthearted,
yeah.
It's in the nuance. Timing and intonation. Timing is completely ruined by 1.5.
Right. And so you won't laugh anymore. You'll stop. The jokes will become less funny. And let's face it, our comedic stylings are what's holding this ship together. See, a pregnant pause. Another thing you won't get if you have your app chopping out silences. Anyway, that's all fine. Hey, I spoke to our Viscount, the executive director of Project Veritas. You want to do that now, or you want to wait for some other?
You might as well do it now. I'm kind of interested.
We spoke for about an hour.
What?
Yeah, we spoke for an hour on the phone.
I thought you said it's going to take an hour.
It's going to take me an hour. No, we spoke for about an hour. He's a Viscount, by the way, Sir Daniel Strack, and he has been the executive director of Project Veritas for a year. And so this is his story, and I 100% believe that, I hate saying 100%. You know, so many people are 100%.
You complain about this and you keep doing it.
I know.
I don't believe I've ever said that.
No, not you. No, this is not you. This is everyone else. This is, okay.
10%. I don't know. What is it? Oh, is it like that little 100 thing that you see as an emoji?
It's the white version of 100, which is the black version of 100%. And Scott Galloway, Professor G, he says it all the time, and that's where I'm picking it up from, and it's annoying me. He'd be like, 100%, 100%, Kara, 100%. So I'm...
Okay, go
get
on.
Get me off of that. Get me off of that, please.
I don't notice it. Okay. Sorry.
See, he.
I don't hear it that much from anyone. I don't listen to Galloway. I've got one new one I've caught, though, that I'll bring up later in the show because it comes up in a clip.
Okay.
And they're using it on PBS to an extreme.
Oh, to an extreme. There's one you use a lot.
It's to an extreme.
You use to an extreme, to an extreme. And so we here, we dissect things, don't we? We get down to the nitty gritty. So an executive director is, you know, executive director, CEO, and a nonprofit are almost interchangeable. Often it's exactly the same thing. But in this case, the executive director reports to the CEO. The CEO was James O'Keefe. And our Viscount was quick to point out he is the ninth operating person, because that's really what he is in this case, in 12 years at Project Veritas. John, I think
you think he's like the COO?
Yes, that's what he said. He was brought in. He was hired by James O'Keefe to help them with the day-to-day management, because again, he's the ninth operating officer in 12 years at Project Veritas. I think we can identify a problem.
Yeah, that's an indicator.
Yes, 140 staff have turned over in the last 7 years.
Another indicator.
That's a big one. That's a really big one. They actually have to do some headcount reduction. He was brought in to do this.
Oh, and, hatchet man.
Yeah, a bit of a... Well, he also brought in HR. Hello. This is where the problems begin. So, you know, so people had a way and a place now to go and complain. So I don't think he really knows James O'Keefe. I don't. I certainly don't. But from his description, this is very much, I mean, after listening to a story, and he was just talking and talking. The way James O'Keefe runs the business is, especially for creative people, if you don't like it, if you can't get it done, you're fired, which I've heard all my life in mainstream television production, so it doesn't faze me.
It comes and goes, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure that this is not pleasant for younger people who have not witnessed this management style.
Roseanne Barr used to be notorious.
Oh, really?
For in the writer's room, just yelling at some poor writer, and it was always the same phrase, I'm thinking. You're so fucking fired, yes. She'd say.
Yes. People have no... Right, I bet the writer's room to this day are still like that on many shows. Writer's rooms are brutal. So now they have a lot of middle management now, or management, I should say, at Project Veritas. Even if you look at their Form 990, they have a chief strategy officer. What kind of position is that even? A chief strategy officer.
This marketing.
Basically marketing. A business development or donor stewardship.
Also marketing.
Also marketing.
Exactly. Most jobs are marketing.
Certainly in a nonprofit environment, you're marketing to your donors. And so the other part of the way James O'Keefe runs is, look, I've got to do this. I'm raising money. I've got to go to this shoot. I need a jet. Get it now. Get me the presidential suite. I need everyone up there for meetings. So in effect, very similar to Bill, in my mind, where Bill Gates says, hey, I can fly private jets because look at all the good I'm doing. Or Nancy Pelosi, you know, like, I can fly anywhere I want. I'm doing good. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does actually.
And this is not crazy for someone who starts a company like this, an organization, what they're now 12, 13 years, whatever they've been running and building, is, you know, this is how you run things. And the more management came in, and at a certain point, if the CFO says, no, you can't do that, and the CEO fires the CFO without the board, and the board is all jacked on being precise, and, you know, if you're a nonprofit, 501c3 and a C4, you have to report, and you have a fiduciary responsibility. So that's where things got out of whack, and it just came to it. I'm paraphrasing what our Viscount there said. It just came to a head where the board said, no, you can no longer have this power to just fire and spend and do whatever you want. And the suggestion was, my favorite, we'll give you a title like president, which I loved. I've been the president of all my companies because you're totally in the executive team, but you have no responsibility. I'm just the president. I don't do anything else. And he should get a private plane budget, whatever the guy needs to operate, because he's also doing most of the fundraising, it appears to me.
Yeah.
But that mechanism of removing him as CEO, that just set him off. And he's like, no, this is a coup, which of course it is. And I'm not going to come back. And so he's not officially resigned. He's everyone's still on the payroll, although now parts of the staff are literally down the street at his apartment, working out of his apartment with him. So it's one of those almost like, The Office, where Michael, starting something new and he goes and he has half the staff in his apartment. These things are not good. And it's come to a head where the best solution would be for James to come back and everyone to work it out. I don't think anyone sees that happening at all.
Well, it was a nice experiment. It went on for 13 years. Personally, and I don't want to get any flack for this, but I don't think they accomplished a damn thing.
Well, and this was kind of my point when I was talking to him, like, so is Acorn gone? That was his first expose. Has Pfizer stopped doing what they're doing? It seems like we get a big cheerleading squad for everything, but I mean, the same with us. I mean, nothing we expose doesn't change anything. It changes people's minds. I think that's important.
We're not trying to change the world. We're trying to get people to line up their thoughts correctly.
Speak for yourself.
Well, you might be, but not me. Believe me.
No, I understand. I understand. So, I think.
But they're trying to change the world, it seems to me.
Yes, and there's a huge belief in the journalists, and I think they're looking at possibly a new face for the organization, which is an interesting move. If they did it fast enough, I think they could possibly do that. And that's the downside is, the people who work there really believe they're saving the world, doing all these things, and that it's about the work and it's not about James. And to which I respectfully said to our Viscount, bro, James is Project Veritas. I don't see how anything else. And I think they're prepared to go through a rough patch start and try to reboot without him.
It's not impossible. It's been done where you have a super charismatic leader mm-hmm. who gets booted out and somebody else comes in who can carry the load. Rare.
Very rare.
My conclusion to that possibility. Rare. It can happen, but it's a dream world kind of thing. If you still got cash flow and everything coming through, you can probably coast for a year or two. You better get that guy fast. I don't know if you can do it. And then again, you have to take a look at what you're doing here. Is Project Veritas just kind of a more serious version of Candid Camera? I mean, they don't tell everyone to turn around. Look over there. There's a camera at you. I'm very disappointed. And I mean, I like what they've done. I like the Pfizer thing. I like the whole thing. But again, it accomplished nothing. The mainstream media has got to stick up their ass about any of it. So if they come up with a real scoop, which they've done literally,
yeah,
it doesn't get picked up by anyone. And so it's outside the mainstream. It's fringe.
It's like the Twitter files. They might as well not exist. They just might as well not. It's good for everyone else. Like, hey, that's right. But that's about it. The biggest problem with running this type of organization, because I had the 2021 filing over $4 million in legal fees. He let me in on the finances. He said, oh, no, we spent $7 million the last year on legal fees. Yeah, this is the problem. It doesn't matter who's going to do this. You need that type of backing and fundraising, quite honestly, to make something like that work.
It seems to me that the only way you can make something like that work is it's actually a legal office. that then has a subsidiary.
A law office that has
a law firm, a major New York law firm has a subsidiary that goes and does these videos.
There you go.
Take them on. That's the way to go.
That's like what Rudy Giuliani should be doing that.
Yeah.
He won't, but.
No, of course not.
So I guess my takeaway.
The problem is they have to run everything through legal, and legal says no to everything. No.
But, you know, so no O'Keefe, you're not going to see funding. I think a lot of donors, although, you know, they say, oh, no, we've got donors secured. I know our Viscount believes it. I have
Maybe they have some secured for the short term. I don't know. I've never seen O'Keefe do a sales pitch, but he's probably pretty decent.
One of the problems was that one of the board members had a pretty exclusive get together, and O'Keefe was there, and then the next day or whatever, he's yelling like, "You need to send everyone who was there this email." Well, no, dude, this was like casual. These are my people. It's an introduction. No, you need to send this email to all of them. So when you get into that level where you're yelling at your board because you want to fundraise through their network kind of directly, this is not how it works. Or in my experience, let's put it that way.
Yeah. Well, no, you can't exploit some of these networks. They're very sensitive to it.
Extremely sensitive.
This is like these are the networks that fund museums.
Yeah. I think you're right, actually. Yeah.
And it's like, and you talk to somebody, I know people that have fundraised. Well,
O'Keefe hangs out with Bobby Kennedy Jr. He's up in those levels. Yeah. These are the people that fund museums. I agree.
And when you talk to these guys who are fundraisers, and that they talk about, oh yeah, we brought in $15 million last month, mm-hmm. and we're short.
Yeah, right.
I'm thinking, oh geez.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Anyway, whatever, if there's any ulterior motive behind any of this, and it's still very possible, even on the O'Keefe side, I'm leaving everything open to possibilities. I do not think that you can resurrect this. Even, and I know who they're talking to, even with which I've promised not to tell, even with a new name to come in, a new face, I just don't, I think it's too tough. And for O'Keefe to continue, yeah, he needs the law office. I'm sure he can fundraise from a lot of the same people, but he'll need the law office. That's what you need. Otherwise, it's just a non-starter. He can get lots of people to do the work. So. It just seems like we got so many of these cool projects, and the alternative media just turns out to be, like a lot of big money problems behind the scenes. Like Crowder, Shapiro, all of this. You know what I mean?
Well, they're swinging for, they're not like, the No Agenda team. Where you have a lean, we stay lean, we stay mean, mean.
Yeah, we are very mean, especially to each other.
We're not turning it into anything other than what turns itself into. In other words, that like the No Agenda shop, for example,
mm-hmm.
very few people would allow that. They wouldn't let a shop just go out and make mugs.
Yeah, just make mugs
and
whatever.
They keep it in-house, and that costs money, and it's overhead, and it costs extra people. It's just, these are the mistakes they make.
Yeah. And
I think it's a mistake to make mugs in, if you're a podcaster, you podcast, you're not in the mug business.
No.
Merch. Get a hold of it. Call me up and I'll send you some merch.
I don't want no merch. Yeah. And as the world turns, God, it's a great title for a sitcom. As the world turns and more people, go to Soros for funding. I mean, my God, man, how many district attorneys, how many politicians have not been hanging off the Soros Open Society Institute? And now that guy's so toast that just imagine going to pitch Soros. And this is real time. This is not edited. And he's just trying to get a word out. In this case, I think he's trying to say something. I don't even know what he's trying to say. Something about something about global warming. But just listen to this. This is what you'd have to deal with. Yes, Mr. Soros, we'd really like some funding for our global warming project.
Would increase the level of the oceans by 7 meters.
Okay, thanks. Sign the check, old man.
Wow.
That guy is so toast.
He's gone.
That's, you know, like we have a senior moment. This is like my man is already dead moment. It's like he's just like death rattle. So sad. Anyway, so
that's a good clip.
Yeah, thanks. It seems like everything is, well, actually, I know what you have today, but what I'm seeing is a major shift from Russia to China. You know, now everything that's going on, there's a China element to it. And China is now also, well, let's listen to the headline. Are you ready? Get ready, everybody. This is a mainstream media headline. Woohoo! Let's go!
Tonight, a special edition of the CBS Evening News. We're here on one of the largest warships the world.
Warship.
A U.S. Navy aircraft carrier that has just returned from the South China Sea.
Yeah.
And just today, CBS News learning the Pentagon plans to increase the number of troops in Taiwan as the independent island hopes to hold off Chinese aggression. Tonight, aboard the USS Nimitz with 5,000 of America's finest. The concern tonight about the possibility of a new Cold War.
New Cold War! This time
with China.
Yeah! Woo! I'm on the Nimitz. I got 5,000 soldiers. We're at war, warship, war. CBS, CIA Broadcasting System, war. Listen to these transitions.
It's
this one here.
How closely is Xi Jinping and China watching the war in Ukraine?
Oh, see, this is how we do it.
Xi Jinping is likely watching the war in Ukraine very closely.
Very closely.
Because it has both economic implications for China, diplomatic implications for China, and military implications for China.
Toshi Yoshihara has spent his career studying the Chinese Navy. He says Xi Jinping is learning lessons as the Chinese president considers invading Taiwan.
The first is the nuclear saber rattling that Putin engaged in at the outset of the conflict. Now, while Putin's nuclear threats did not stop the West from helping Ukraine.
Notice the subtle explosions in the background while they're talking here. It's all so deep.
Saber rattling that Putin engaged in at the outset of the conflict. Now, while Putin's nuclear threats did not stop the West from helping Ukraine, I think it was clear that the United States and its NATO allies were very cautious. Took Putin's words seriously. And so Xi Jinping might learn that it might be to China's benefit to similarly engage in early nuclear threats.
Republican Congressman Mike Gallagher is a Marine veteran and chairs the new House committee focused on China.
One of the lessons of Ukraine is that when dictators tell you they're going to do something, you should pay attention.
President Biden has pledged to defend Taiwan, setting the U.S.
Let's stop.
We've had lessons by watching Putin.
Putin said he's not going to invade Ukraine in those early days. He says, nonsense. We're not going to do anything. That's what he said. I can find clips.
Yeah.
So this guy says, well, when a guy says something, he's supposed to pay attention. So we should have just backed off. I mean, make up your mind.
Good point.
If they're going to do something, you should pay attention.
Well, they paid attention.
President Biden has pledged to defend Taiwan, setting the U.S. and China up for a possible conflict this decade.
If this thing really escalated into a conflict between our navies, that would entail a level of destruction and death that we haven't seen for a long, long time.
Oh, you sound almost jitty about it. Oh, destruction and death we haven't seen for a long, long time. Oh, I'm getting all worked up just thinking about it. And it's across the political spectrum. We have Dusty Johnson from, where is he? South Dakota. I think he took over Louis Gohmert's. No. Who is South
Gohmert's
Dakota?
Gohmert's Texas.
Yeah, it's Texas. Well, listen to this guy, Dusty Johnson.
Let me now bring in Congressman Dusty Johnson. He's a Republican from South Dakota, and he's a member of that House Select Committee on China. Congressman,
China.
It's good to hear from you. Thank you for coming on. Let me start with, we heard from Mike Gallagher earlier, the chair of the committee that you're on, can't get weapons there fast enough. What does that look like, and what is the balance between helping Ukraine and helping Taiwan that you'd like to see?
A balance.
Well, your other guests were right about a depletion of the stockpile, so I do think we want to be strategic and forward-looking. Churchill, I think, called the United States the arsenal of democracy, and clearly that is still true, but we do need to arm the Taiwanese. The threat from the Chinese Communist Party is only growing. We have seen their pattern of aggression get, I think, more provocative. And so this is something the Select Committee is going to be spending a lot of time discussing.
So I'll play one more just to identify that the narrative is shifting from Russia to China. Taiwan is the new Ukraine, but maybe Taiwan is the new, Japan is the new Poland, or maybe that's the Philippines. Here's the guy from Texas, Moran. I think he's the one that replaced Louis Gohmert.
Vladimir Putin's national address this week appeared to confirm the war in Ukraine is not ending anytime soon. Yesterday, top diplomat from China there in Moscow. Are we entering a new phase of this war in Ukraine?
New phase.
I certainly believe so. Make no mistake that this war in Ukraine is about more than just the conflict between Russia and Ukraine, and about more than just that geographic region. Truly, this is becoming a proxy conflict between the United States and China, the two dominant superpowers.
How about that?
What?
How about that? Yes. No.
It was on. I think what you can claim here is that it was on his mind. But this is not a proxy conflict between the U.S. and China.
This is what they're saying. This is exactly what
this is what they're thinking.
Yeah. Well, of course. Yes.
Truly, this is becoming a proxy conflict between the United
States. It's becoming a proxy conflict. Yes.
Geographic region. Truly, this is becoming a proxy conflict between the United States and China, the two dominant superpowers economically throughout the world. And what most people seem to forget in this conflict is, look, if we can't push back hard against Russian imperialism and Russian aggression in this instance, we're going to see greater issues that we're going to have to deal with down the line by a growing axis of evil, that being Russia, North Korea, China, Iran, those entities and those countries that say, we don't want freedom, we don't want individual liberties, and we're going to capture the rest of the world and push our agenda on them. And so we've got to understand that we have to push the Russians back out of Ukraine, and if we don't, we're going to end up in a situation where there's greater conflict to deal with and greater responsibility that we're going to have to take on. So, but listen, the Russian invasion here, it won't stop at Ukraine if we don't stop them.
Yeah,
if we
will.
Don't help the Ukrainians stop, it's going to continue through other countries.
Oh, no, it's going all over Europe. It's going all over Europe.
I don't know. You know, they push and push this NATO thing about Section 5 or Rule 10 or whatever it is.
Five.
And yet these Article guys five. Keep saying stuff like this, which is bull crap.
Well,
And by the way, this bull crap about if this happens, then that happens, then this happens, is that happens. This is what got us in the Vietnam War, according to everybody at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, well, Vietnam falls, and next is the domino theory. And it was the domino theory. And so that's going to happen. That's going to happen. The whole world's going to be communist overnight.
Well, let's go to the source of this bull crap. Her name is Ann Applebaum. She is the one that keeps propagating I have two clips and it's worth playing both of them. Now she's married to an ambassador, I think. She's a troublemaker.
She's also the head of a lot of these kind of Soros-backed operations.
Listen to her credentials, which MSNBC Velshi will read them off.
Joining me now is Anne Applebaum. She is a Pulitzer Prize winning historian, a staff writer for The Atlantic, a senior fellow at the Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies and the Agora Institute. She's the author of several important books, including Twilight of Democracy, The Seductive Lure of Authoritarianism, Red Famine, Stalin's War on Ukraine, and Iron Curtain, The Crushing of Eastern Europe, 1944 to 1950s.
Do you think she has her head up her butt about this?
There may be no one with greater specialty at what is happening here. And thank you for being with us this evening here in Ukraine. I have to ask you now, a year in, what you see happening as we look at the situation in Ukraine.
What do you see happening?
I mean, it's a very, it's a very difficult war to assess because on the one hand, what's been achieved is so extraordinary and was so unexpected, and yet there is still so much further to go. I mean, this war will end when Russia has understood that it was a mistake. And that means
same voice.
What?
She's got the voice. She's got the voice of the women that have, you know, that advertising, whatever you want to call it.
The NPR
she's got
lady.
That same. Yes. She's in the same milieu.
Yes.
As Samantha Powers, the woman that was at NPR, all of them.
Yep.
There we go. I mean, this war will end when Russia has understood that it was a mistake. And that means we need to get to that point. And that means Ukraine needs to take back its territory and needs to convince Russia that it can't win. And we aren't quite there yet.
Okay, so I like what I'm hearing because they're waffling like, well, you know, Ukraine has to, this will, or when Putin realizes they've made a mistake, and Ukraine has to make them realize that. But let's go to what I'm really looking for is the lie, because whatever, Putin only ever said this about the Russian Empire. He said, anyone who doesn't regret the passing of the Soviet Union has no heart. Anyone who wants it restored has no brains. That is in the New York Times, 20th February, 2000. So that second part, just like very fine people, that second part is never mentioned. It's always anyone who doesn't regret the passing of the Soviet Union has no heart. So, and that is the only thing he has ever said about this. In addition to that, the demise of the Soviet Union was the greatest geopolitical catastrophe of the century. This is preamble to that statement. As for the Russian people, it became a genuine tragedy. Tens of millions of our fellow citizens and countrymen found themselves beyond the fringes of Russian territory. And then anyone who doesn't regret the passing of the Soviet Union has no heart. Anyone who wants it restored has no brains. Now let's go to Anne Applebaum. She has all the credentials. She lives in the milieu. And she literally wrote the book on the Russian Empire.
The likelihood of Vladimir Putin invading a NATO country or even sending a missile into a NATO country seems lower now that they've got most of their military in Ukraine right now. But you are saying that message hasn't gotten through. Why is that? Why does Vladimir Putin not look at this and say this is an abject failure for Russia?
So this was never about NATO. That was a lie that he told to fool our security community and to convince us not to help Ukraine.
Oh, and guess what? They were fooled.
This was always about him. It was about his vision of a reconstructed Soviet Union, of a new Russian Empire. And it was also always about his desire to destroy the forces of democracy and liberalism and open society that he saw developing in Ukraine and which he perceived as a threat to him personally. He's somebody who has a lot of nostalgia for the Soviet Union for that period. And he's somebody who sees democratic language, democratic activism, and of course the kind of democratic revolution they had in Ukraine as a threat to him. So this has always been about crushing Ukraine and crushing that movement. And he hasn't achieved that. He's attached a lot of his prestige to that. There's a lot of doubt about it around him. We know that the Russian business community and the security community are not 100% behind this war, but he personally believes that his power is connected to winning it. And so he has not yet been convinced that he won't win. And there are back channel conversations, and we know he's not at that stage yet.
Ooh, got
so, back so we have, she's a liar.
Yes, a massive liar.
Yes. Well, back to the China thing. I have a clip. I think don't overlook this. These are the clips. Macron's going to China because of Ukraine.
He's the big peacemaker, Macron.
So let's go to Macron, China, peace in Ukraine.
French President Emmanuel Macron says he'll travel to China in just over a month to discuss the war in Ukraine.
Oh my.
On Friday, China released a peace proposal. Beijing is calling for an end to Western sanctions on Russia and is urging Moscow and Kyiv to hold talks. Macron says it's important for China to put pressure on Russia to end the war and withdraw from Ukraine. Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko has also announced he'll visit Beijing in the coming days. Belarus is one of Russia's closest allies. Last year, Minsk allowed the Kremlin to use its territory to launch attacks on Ukraine. Let's take a close look at China's peace proposal now. It follows talks between top Chinese diplomat Wang Yi and Russian President Vladimir Putin. Beijing is calling for an end to Western sanctions on Russia and urging Moscow and Kyiv to hold talks. The proposal calls for the establishment of humanitarian corridors for civilians and steps to ensure grain can be safely exported from Ukraine. It also warns against the use of nuclear weapons in the conflict, as well as attacks on nuclear power plants.
Oh, yes, of course. Of course.
Now, that seems a lot different than the reporting that China's out to get us.
Well, we have to gaslight the American people into being afraid of the China.
Well, that's why I had to go to Al Jazeera, England, to get that clip. There's part two coming up.
Well, Andy Mok is a senior research fellow at the Center for China and Globalization think tank. He says peace in Ukraine is in the best interests of China and the wider international community.
I think China, as a major economy, one of the largest economies in the world, certainly benefits.
Wow, this guy sounds like Janet Yellen. Is this a financial guy? Like a banker?
Yeah, probably. The same milieu.
Yeah. Oh,
a major economy, one of the largest economies in the world, certainly benefits from an end to hostilities. This will improve global sentiment, economic prosperity, or put the world back on a path to economic prosperity. And this benefits all countries, especially larger countries like China. I think that's one. Certainly, I think from a reputation prestige perspective, playing a role in bringing this conflict to a close, when no other major power has been able to do so, certainly, I think would burnish China's reputation. But we also have to recognize that there's only so much an honest broker can do. And sometimes both sides have to fight to a certain amount of exhaustion before there can be a negotiated settlement. And whether we're at this point yet or not, I think remains to be seen.
Not you mentioned Yeltsin, by the way, or Yellen, Yeltsin.
Yeltsin.
Chris Hedges, the journalist, the left-wing journalist, is very well-regarded. You said Yeltsin.
Oh, really?
Instead of Yellen, yeah.
Idiot.
Somebody sent me the clip. I forgot to put it on here. But maybe he's listening to the show.
I have. Here's a Secretary of State, Abe Lincoln. On the Russia and China narrative.
We're also hearing from the intel community that China...
So, mind you, this is the second clip we've heard. The intel community keeps telling us. So we're hearing from the intel community. Who is this? These are serious news organizations. And they just throw it out there. Oh, we're just hearing from the intel community. There's 15 organizations in the intel community. Why don't you just say CIA spooks who are inside your organization?
We're also hearing from the intel community that China...
And the intel community happens to be at this desk right next to me.
We're also hearing from the intel community that China is considering lethal aid to Russia in support of their effort. How concerned are you with that? And what sanctions are on the table for preventing it?
So we are concerned, and in fact, that's one of the reasons that I made it public last week. What we've seen from day one is, if you go back to before the invasion started, just a couple of weeks before that, Vladimir Putin and President Xi Jinping of China had a meeting, and they said they had a partnership with no limits. We were concerned from day one that that partnership might result in China providing lethal military assistance to Russia for use in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And so we've said from day one, don't do it. We have information recently that they're now thinking about doing it. And so we tried publicly to, as well as privately, to warn them against it. There is no point in adding fuel to the fire. China's trying to have it both ways. They're trying to present themselves as neutral and a party for peace, while at the same time aiding and abetting Russia's war effort.
What sanctions are on the table to prevent them from providing this aid?
Well, there are a multiplicity of possible sanctions. I don't want to get into the details, but what we've said to them very directly, including in a meeting I had with their senior foreign policy official in Munich last week, is that this would be a serious problem in our relationship.
So they're just setting it up, and it's all for one thing.
Setting it up.
Yes, and this is all for the military-industrial complex who weave right in through the CIA broadcasting systems and let you know that, you know, we really need more money.
We need to sell more jets to Taiwan.
No.
We're going to sell to Japan, too.
Hold on. Here, I got a clip.
The production line at the Lockheed Martin plant in Arkansas is gearing up to turn out one new rocket every 10 minutes.
Woohoo, baby! We can't kill enough people! One every 30 minutes!
It's part of the $30 billion...
Was it 30 or 10?
What?
Was it 30 or 10?
I thought he said 30.
The production line at the Lockheed Martin plant in Arkansas is gearing up to turn out one new rocket every 10 minutes.
10 minutes? I'm sorry. It's 6 an hour.
It's part of the $30 billion in weapons the U.S. has committed to Ukraine, but just a fraction of the Pentagon's staggering $858 billion defense budget.
This is darn close to being the biggest defense budget that we have ever had.
Since World War II, the only time the U.S. spent more on defense was at the height of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan.
We can do better, boys.
Lauren Thompson of the Lexington Institute says nearly a third of that is spent on weapons.
That is an amount of money that outstrips the entire economy of most European countries.
Yeah.
Yet the Pentagon is hard-pressed to keep Ukraine supplied with ammunition.
For a couple of key items, the stockpile is getting low.
What does low mean?
We're at a level where the risk for other war plans becomes great.
I love this statement. So what we're supposed to think...
We need a new factory.
Well, we need it because of China, but I just love how he says, well, other war plans. We got war plans. You want some war plans? Hold on. Just get my folder for some more war plans.
Stockpile is getting low.
What does low mean?
We're at a level where the risk for other war plans becomes great.
Other war plans.
Retired Marine Colonel Mark Kansian of the Center for Strategic and International Studies says Ukraine's use of artillery shells far outstrips the Pentagon's capacity to make them.
They're using about as much in a month as we produced in a year.
If the U.S. can't keep Ukraine supplied in its fight against a decrepit Russian military, what would happen to American forces in a war against the number one threat,
China?
The United States was critically short of a couple of key munitions, particularly long-range anti-ship missiles.
Kansian recently directed a war game in which the U.S. tried to stop a Chinese invasion of Taiwan.
Did the U.S. in these war games actually run out of these long-range anti-ship missiles?
Yes, the U.S. ran out of these missiles in the first few days of the war.
Okay, hold on a second. Let's stop and start analyzing this right now. Are these missiles any good?
Well,
do they take out a ship, or are they just shooting them left and right? Are the artillery shells being fired by the Ukrainians a joke? Are they just firing them randomly?
Likely.
In 1 month, they used up the entire supply that it took us a year to manufacture?
Well,
in 1 month?
I would say that they shot off a third, and the other two-thirds sold to Africa. Yes, I would say it's all in Africa now. That's our third front.
Well, if that's an extrapolation of some logic, but if you look at it straight up, and they tell you that the Ukrainians have used these shells,
they can't aim. Then
they either can't aim,
or
they don't know what they're doing,
or they're no good.
Or they're shooting them straight up. Who knows what they're up to?
It's no good. But we're drawing the line. We're drawing the line now. And I think that's because, well, here's the clip and then we'll dissect it. This is now we're at ABC. David Muir, who had an interview with the president. I have a lot of clips, but I'll just cherry pick here.
We know the Germans are now sending tanks in after the U.S. said it would send Abrams tanks as well. But we know President Zelensky continues to say what he really needs are F-16s. Will you send F-16s?
Look.
We're sending him what our seasoned military thinks he needs now. He needs tanks, he needs artillery, he needs air defense, including another HIMARS. There's things he needs now that we're sending him to put him in a position to be able to make gains this spring and this summer going into the fall.
You don't think he needs F-16s now?
No, he doesn't need F-16s now.
Is that a never?
Look, first of all,
look,
the idea that we know exactly what's going to be needed a year, two, three from now, but there is no basis upon which there is a rationale, according to our military now, to provide F-16s.
But you're not ruling it out.
I am ruling it out for now.
For now.
This is really interesting. So first,
why is Muir pushing this?
Well, listen, I have the same question being pushed by Stephanie Ruhle over on MSNBC.
President Zelensky has been pressing the U.S. for F-16 fighter jets. And here's what President Biden said tonight when he was asked about that.
We're sending him what our seasoned military thinks he needs now.
Seasoned military, the guy with the face mask.
He needs tanks, he needs artillery, he needs air defense, including another HIMARS. There's things he needs now that we're sending him to put him in a position to be able to make gains this spring and this summer going into the fall.
You don't think he needs F-16s now?
No, he doesn't need F-16s now. There is no basis upon which there is a rationale, according to our military now, to provide F-16s.
But you're not ruling it out.
I am ruling it out for now.
So that's MSNBC replaying ABC's interview to drive home the point, no jets for Ukraine. And I can only think that means we need to send them to Taiwan or to Malaysia or somewhere nearby. Or
no,
to
I
Japan.
Think they want to send. I don't. That's possible. But I think that whole thing's it'd be nice to send them there because it's good sales. But this whole thing seems to be orchestrated by General Dynamics somehow.
Well,
because they're
that
the ones who
sense.
Sell the F-16 and they want them. I understood they were going to stop making them. And
so they don't have enough. The first thought that came to my mind was no one wants to put more money into the F-35. They don't have anything really ready to fund yet. Like it's like we're not ready for that conversation because we'll be, you know, you send over the if we send over the F-16s, what do we have left?
We have stuff we won't send over, like the F-22.
Yeah.
They're not giving that to anybody because the first thing that'll happen to the F-22 is somehow the Russians will end up with it.
The whole thing, we're being gaslit about China, really big time. And it's just report after report after report. Oh, China. It's all moving away from
China.
It's all moving away from Ukraine. It's all moving towards China. So now, you know, it's the proxy war, the proxy conflict we have.
All China has to do is just shut off all exports to us, but they'd be screwed too.
They won't do that.
No, because they screw themselves. But I do have a bunch of clips, but
I have a few more things if before you
move off. First, I want to get this out of the way, which is your prediction, excuse me, that this war is going to be over soon.
Oh.
I'm not personally, I don't see it, but I will say you have a confirming clip that I have here. And this is on the Brooks and Capehart.
The Brooks and Capehart, that can never be taken as evidence or proof of anything. I have to.
Yeah, and I totally disagree. this is Brooks predicting, when the war will end.
Oh. This is going to, are there sound effects in this 13 second bite?
No. Down autocracy. And we could see that after we see what happens with the spring offensive.
Do you see this stretching another year, David?
For sure. Yeah. But I see us holding still and hold the West holding firm.
Go for another year.
For sure, he says. For sure. As soon as he said for sure,
that means it's over.
Yeah, that means that's confirmation for you.
All right.
This guy has never been right about anything.
I have three clips to wind that up, and then it'll be done with the war is over, because we had a big UN get-together, which right away the Russians disturbed the whole peaceful process.
The Security Council is called to order.
And so we had the Ukrainian ambassador to the UN, and he wanted a moment of silence for all the dead Ukrainians.
In the Security Council chamber, Ukraine's foreign minister wanted to remember the cost of the past year, the cost of Russia's invasion.
I kindly ask everyone to observe a minute of silence in memory of the victims of the aggression.
But Russia's representative here interrupted the silence. He had another idea.
All of those who perished, all lives are priceless. And that is why we're rising to honor the memory of them all.
So he said, no, we are rising for all dead, not just your dead.
The Russian version of history is that Ukraine started all this.
The Russian version of history. I love it.
The minute silence resumed, he had successfully seized the moment.
Wow. What is with these people?
They were in this chamber a year ago exactly when Vladimir Putin in Moscow chose to announce his move on Ukraine. It represented a total rejection of this chamber, this institution, and the global order it tries to preserve. And this anniversary was a chance to count the cost.
Right. So then they, they had a resolution which says Russia bad, Ukraine good, and not everyone signed off on it. China didn't sign off on it. In Berlin, they drove a Russian tank, the one that had been burned out, and placed it in front of the Russian embassy in Berlin as like, hey, you know, this is what we're doing to you. And what happened was quite the opposite to what was expected. People started laying flowers on top of this Russian tank that had burned out. So people are kind of done with this. In fact, before I play my coup de grace, here's the what's his face? Hakeem Jeffries. Now, we only really know Hakeem Jeffries because he almost he could have been Speaker of the House.
No, he didn't almost at all.
Well, didn't almost at all.
And he couldn't have been. If it was a serious thing, the last thing the Democrats are going to really do, if they're actually going to choose a true one, if they had the chance to, would not be this guy. He's a figurehead.
So he's from Brooklyn. He's in Brooklyn. He's doing a town hall on what looks like a throne. I don't know where he was. And this guy, Jose Vega, who seems like he may be an Instagrammer or whatever. I don't know him. And the audio switches back, so it sounds a little boomy for a moment. But he really railed on this guy about what's going on, in particular in regards to the lack of questions or even willingness to understand the article that Seymour Hersh wrote about the United States blowing up the Nord Stream pipelines.
The UN Security Council had a meeting yesterday, and Ray McGovern spoke to it. He is a former member of the CIA, and he testified in support of Seymour Hersh's article on the United States bombing Nord Stream pipeline. If it is proven that the United States bombed the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, as has been asserted by Seymour Hersh and his article, will you call for the United States to acknowledge and admit that that was an act of war against Germany and Russia? And I'm asking this because this may be the only way to prevent the rest of us from being killed in a thermonuclear war.
And this is the gaslighting that's going on. We're going to fry.
And I don't want to be fried. No. Don't you think the media should be reporting on whether or not this is true? And don't you think you should be inquiring into whether or not this is true?
Valid question from the constituent, but are we going to answer?
Well, thank you for the question. One, I've got no information to suggest that the United States was involved in bombing the Nord Stream pipeline.
Because you weren't briefed on it.
Sir, you got your chance to ask a question.
You weren't given information because he explicitly says you weren't briefed on it. Right. Shouldn't you inquire, sir?
So here's what I'll say about, I think, President Biden's leadership generally as it relates to the Ukraine.
Ukraine and Russia.
We committed an act of war. What are you doing to respond to that? We have to hold Biden accountable. Listen, you're from Brooklyn, right? You know when to call bullshit when you see it, and so do I. This is bullshit right now.
And I see what's happening right now. That does not silence me. So you can hear me right now. I want you to say something about the bombing, because we're all going to die from a nuclear war right now unless you stop it and you at least put an inquire into whether or not it's true. This war in Ukraine is going to leave us all dead. So what are you going to do? Because you need to inquire. I'm a New Yorker too.
Here's what I'll say.
Say it.
We're going to continue to stand with the Ukrainian people.
That's fucking bullshit. Do not do that. You are all dead.
War against
Peace. We need talks. Because why are you sabotaging talks? Do not put your hands on me. We need peace talks.
Well, you know how that ends, of course.
Yeah, it keeps going. Yeah, the guy gets thrown out of his ass. On his ass.
And the worst part is you hear people applauding for Hakeem Jeffries to continue, so brave to continue with this heckler. So brave. So we have people who realize what's going on, but they've been gaslit into thinking we're all going to fry. And in fact,
that actually makes it more interesting.
A lot of people think that. So here's the salvation. They are actually putting it together. This is the Ukraine's prosecutor. He's the acting something or other. This is from Deutsche Welle, and that'll be the last one we play. This is about the...
I have more clips.
No, the last one I'll play. This is on the war ending. I'm just saying, this is where the war ends. And it ends with this new court, this new entity, and the crime is the act of aggression.
Center to investigate crimes of aggression against Ukraine by Russia is to be set up soon in The Hague, in the Netherlands. You mentioned earlier the special tribunal that you want to set up to try Russia for the crime of aggression. The ICC has no jurisdiction about this crime. We know many Western countries are rather reluctant. Do you think that this idea of a special tribunal is gaining traction, and is it for you because you want to see Vladimir Putin sit in front of a court?
First of all, I would like to mention that for any Ukrainian, it doesn't matter in front of which court will sit Vladimir Putin, whether it will be the International Criminal Court in The Hague or whether it will be special tribunal for the crime of aggression, which I believe would be set up and would be organized by the countries who know that act of aggression was committed, who know that there is a gap in international law.
Gap in international law.
Which does not allow by existing tools to punish the aggressor for the act of aggression, and which know that only establishing of special court or special tribunal, we could make Putin and his close surrounding liable, responsible for committing crime of aggression, because if crime of aggression would not have been committed, there would be no 68,000 war crimes committed then thereafter.
Yeah, you see, it's the act of aggression that resulted in the war crime, so it is the OG first principle violation.
6 months ago, we have no support, we have just discussion. Now we have 20 countries who are ready to go ahead. Now we are in course of having resolution of General Assembly of United Nations, which is prepared for the next months in order to support the idea of full or comprehensive accountability of the of Russian aggressor, including all war crimes committed by them, including register of damage and compensation,
taking the money,
and including all other elements which not only punish the aggressor by in all dimensions, but also should deter any future aggressor in any part of the globe from committing aggression.
And you'll just be able to say to your parents, you're committing a crime of aggression against me, Mom!
Well, that brings up this interesting little tidbit, since they're going to do war crime stuff. And this came out from, I think, a fairly neutral Al Jazeera, who doesn't really have a dog in the hunt,
Yeah.
Ukraine war crimes.
Human Rights Watch has accused Russia of carrying out indiscriminate attacks against civilians and Ukrainian forces of violating laws of war. It's gathered testimony about alleged mistreatment and summary executions of prisoners of war, as well as the use of banned weapons. Human Rights Watch says Ukrainian forces used Uragan cluster munition rockets in an attack on Hussarivka in Kharkiv region. From May to early September, Ukrainian forces repeatedly attacked the city of Izium and surrounding areas while they were under Russian control with cluster munitions.
Man, we got to cut Al Jazeera off of our cable networks.
War crimes.
By Ukraine, of course. Cluster, phosphate.
Cluster bombs.
Yeah, with phosphate. We've all seen the video. Sure.
Now, I have two clips of Biden in Poland.
I have a couple of those. All right.
First of all, I want this. He's jacked, by the way.
Yeah, they put him on some extra.
He's
extra
yelling.
Dosage.
I got hairy legs. He's got that yelling thing going on.
Yeah.
But they play these strange songs. I have one at the beginning and one at the end. And I don't know why don't they play Hail to the Chief or a Sousa Band March, something American or not hip hop.
What?
And here's the first part. This is Biden Poland speech jacked one. And this will be Biden being introduced to the Polish audience with the music.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the 46th President of the United States of America, Joe Biden.
Freedom, freedom is you. You give me freedom.
Okay. So stop.
I stopped.
This is, wow. So for some reason, someone in the Obama camp thought that it would translate to do what you can do with President Obama. You can do that with President Obama. You can't do that with Joe Biden. No one takes his musical chops seriously. And even just seeing how Trump would do it. This is crazy. Freedom, freedom. Oh, yeah. It was so, I can just see the meeting. It was so impactful. When everyone's singing along, freedom, freedom. There's a president. He's going to set them free.
I guess it's probably the same song they played at the end, but they played it from a different starting point. But I have the a medley, of course, my famous Biden medley of his commentary in his speech. And at the end of this medley, it will play the beginning of the second version of this outro song, which I just thought was ludicrous. But here we go with Biden Poland medley.
Yeah, and if anyone can Shazam that in the troll room, I'd love to know what it is.
Hello, Poland.
Hello, Cleveland.
Hello, Poland. And the questions we faced were as simple as they were profound. Would we respond? Or would we look the other way? Would we be strong? Or would we be weak? All of our allies? Democracy was too strong. Instead of an easy victory, he perceived and predicted. Putin left with burnout tanks and Russia's forces in delay and just in appetites of the autocrat cannot be appeased. They must be opposed. Autocrats only understand one word. No, no, no. It's abhorrent. It's abhorrent. But extraordinarily, as well, has been the response of the Ukrainian people and the world. 1 year after the bombs began to fall, Russian tanks rolled into Ukraine. Ukraine is still independent and free. And all those who defend freedom around the world, thank you, thank you, thank you for what you're doing.
Wow. It's like a real Americana song, too. Did anyone get it?
I just found it to be, what are they doing? I mean, Biden managed to get through the speech without too many flubs, except there's only one word they understand. No, no, no. That's three words. I hate to mention it.
Is this Coldplay? Skyfall. Oh, that's so wrong. Oh, really? Hold on a second. Is that? Let's see if it's Coldplay. That would trip me up. Yeah, it is.
That's it?
Yeah, that's so wrong. Coldplay is gay. Don't you know that? Coldplay. No, it's just, it's like, it's, we, it's the gay. We don't listen to Coldplay anymore.
It's gay, you said?
Yeah, not really gay, but it's just like wrong. It's lame.
It's lame.
It's lame. It's lame. It's lame. A sky full of stars. Oh, brother.
I was shaking my head while listening. I don't know this song, but.
Well, I don't either. But Coldplay? Are you kidding me?
This is your
Coldplay.
That, Women in the White House. This is the
Women in the White House. You're right. Exactly. What woman? And I hate to say it that way, but what woman came up with Coldplay? That's not a masculine song of freedom.
Jill Biden.
I think you're right.
I was gonna skip it off to one of the. Obamaites that's still working there, but no.
This is totally a Jill Biden. What's the guy's name from Coldplay?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Somebody in the chat room would know. Jill Biden, who wore that crazy outfit
Chris Martin. I love Chris Martin. Let's play his song. Maybe we can get a meet and greet.
Yep.
I'm telling you.
Totally Jill Biden.
Yep. Fangirl. Fangirling over Coldplay. Told you. It's gay. I mean that in a certain way.
Yeah, we know who we use no agenda way.
Yes.
We have plenty of gay listeners.
Yeah. Oh, hey, they invented
it. And they know what we're talking about.
They do. They're the first ones. Like, yeah, it's Chris Martin. Yeah, pretty gay. All right. Yeah. Man, oh, man. That's bad. You don't want to be represented by Coldplay.
Well, I didn't see any commentary in the media about any of it.
Wow. I have a couple other Biden clips because David Muir did an interview with him. Do you have any? They're short. If you have any desire to hear some, how about China? Oh, no, that's too long. That's not short. Let's see. Spy balloon.
Is there anywhere he says, look?
Oh, hey, let me just grab any clip then.
Vladimir Putin told the Russian people this week that China's President Xi is coming to Russia, likely as early as this spring. I know the State Department and the Pentagon now have both warned China not to offer lethal military assistance to Russia in this war with Ukraine, saying the U.S. is concerned that China is considering providing lethal support to Russia. Would that cross a line for you?
Look.
Die!
As a needle drop, too.
I had a very frank conversation with President Xi this past summer on this issue. And I pointed out to him, the conversation went like this. I said, Mr. President, this is not a threat. It's just an assertion, a statement of what I think the reality is. You saw what happened when the rest of the world, Europe in particular, saw the brutality of what Putin was doing in Ukraine to the Ukrainians from Russia. And I said, without any government prodding, 600 American corporations left Russia, from McDonald's to Exxon to across the board.
Not really.
And I said, and if you are engaged in the same kind of brutality by supporting the brutality that's going on, I said, you may face the same consequence. I don't anticipate, we haven't seen it yet, but I don't anticipate a major initiative on the part of China providing weaponry to Russia.
Mm-hmm. Well, does he mention in this whole interview that China's trying to be a peace broker?
No, of course not. No. No, well, we can't have that.
He's leaving something out.
We can't have that. No.
By the way, I'm starting to decode Biden's tells.
Okay.
He has, because he did it when he first got to Poland, he was being greeted at this big round table. And I have some clips. I don't have them on this for today, but I have them. Mm-hmm. And he's telling these stupid stories about his dad and dignity and all the rest of it. And he has two things he does. He says, this is a true story. This is God's honest truth.
Yeah. Lie.
No, that is true.
Oh, that it's a true story, the God's honest truth, or just
because that contrasts with no joke.
Oh,
I'm not kidding. No joke.
Right.
No joke. I'm not kidding. No joke. Because he'll say something that's not even remotely funny. That's a blatant lie.
Yeah.
And then he'll throw in no joke.
Yeah. Right. But when he tells those stories about his dad, he said, "Dad," and the dad said, "Joey, sweetheart." I never believed that. Did his dad say "Joey, sweetheart" to him? I don't believe it.
I don't know.
Doesn't really matter. The guy's toast. I'm astounded at how good he's doing. He's doing quite well, actually.
Well, when you hear him in at this big round table thing, it's like, and no joke, he's just a mess. Mm. And then they get him in front of this audience where they've jacked him with, I'd like to know what it is, but they got him jacked on something, speedballs. And he's up there screaming, he talks louder.
Yeah, and he gets pretty passionate. That's what we call that in diplomatic speaking.
And he's got the grouchiest look on his face in this Polish speech. He's got that look of the guy who's a puppeteer. Well, he's got the ventriloquist.
His wife is bringing Chris Martin in on the soundtrack. Of course he's grumpy.
Yeah, he's got this downturn mouth. He's just grumpy looking. I mean, he's really grumpy looking. And he's yelling. He's grumpy and yelling.
So from foreign policy to domestic policy, let's talk about East Palestine, shall we?
I want to ask you about a couple of issues here at home. It's been 3 weeks now since the toxic train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio.
I like this alliteration everyone's using, the toxic train derailment. I kind of like that. I like that they've chosen that.
It's now since the toxic train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, as you know. The mayor says he saw you in Ukraine, and he says it tells you he doesn't care about us. They're asking, is the president coming to Ohio? Do you have any plan to travel to Ohio, and have you talked with the mayor yet?
Now, this one should be a pretty simple one. Yeah, of course I'm going to come. Of course. We just have to work out the logistics. And the mayor? Yeah, of course I've talked to the mayor.
Let's put this in perspective. Within 2 hours of that derailment, the EPA was in there. Within 2 hours.
2 hours.
No.
Every major agency in the United States government that had anything to do with rail and or cleanup was there and is there.
No.
In addition to that, I've spoken at length to the congresspersons, the governors, the senators,
the governors
from both states of Pennsylvania and in Ohio.
Ohio, yes.
And I've made it clear to them anything they need is available. We'll make it available to them. Whatever happens in the governor's hand, it's the responsibility of the railroad company, who's made, by the way, tens of billions of dollars in profits.
Oh.
Tens of billions of dollars in profits.
What an ass. He's like, by the way, let's shift that away from us. Tens of billions of dollars in profits, those horrible railroad people who are responsible.
So do you plan to travel there and have you talk with the mayor?
I can't recall where that. I don't think I've talked to the mayor. I talked to everyone else there multiple times.
Yeah.
I talked to both the senators, both governors. I've talked to everyone there is to talk to. And we made it clear that everything is available.
Yeah.
Just talk to anybody.
Yeah. Not a good Nobody. Look. Not a good look. Not a good look. Shoo, 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 shoo.
You know what I think? This, if we had honest government, you'd have the guy say, I'm remiss for not contacting these people. I'm very familiar with what happened there. But to be honest about it, I'm very familiar with the potential damaging effects of even breathing vinyl chloride. It causes an irreparable, uncurable liver cancer that will kill you in 5 days. And I have no plans of going anywhere near that place.
Yes, this is why you're a podcaster. This is, you are not a presidential advisor on his answers. No.
That's what I'd say.
Yeah, I hear you. It was interesting to see Wall Street Journal now, just to wrap up China, now saying, yep, looks like it was a lab leak. Yeah, that's where they're at. That's where they're at. Did you see what Scott Adams did?
If you brought it up.
Yes,
I'm very familiar with what Scott Adams did.
I want to give him props. He pulled a Kanye. I kind of appreciate it. He literally threw Dilbert under the bus for him to make the
threw
point.
Threw himself under the bus.
And himself. Well, he is Dilbert. Threw himself under the bus, has no qualms about being canceled.
He has no qualms about it yet.
No, yeah. Well, I fear for him because once he finds out that it's not that fun when YouTube kicks you off, because then you really, you're nobody. You know, you can't be Scott Adams just on Rumble. You can't be Scott Adams.
You can't be anybody on Rumble.
No, exactly. You can't be Scott Adams just on Locals. And, you know, and by his own admission, he loves attention. But I thought that was pretty good.
Wait, before you continue, I want to hear this. But he, I think, believes that Locals is really the future.
Yeah, so I think he has an investment in it as well.
Yeah, and so I think what you're saying is not, it's not fathomable to him.
No.
That you can get kicked off YouTube. I don't think he understands it, the importance of it.
He's making the same mistake Kanye made. Kanye thought that, I'll buy the other social media network, the Candace Owens.
Oh, yes.
Thing.
We forgot already.
You don't even know what it's called anymore. The one that was taken down. Come on, trolls, give it to me. So it's this Parler. You know,
Parler.
Oh, yeah, I'll just buy Parler. You know, oh, no, I'll just be on Locals. It's the future. No, you won't be.
Parlay.
Now, what he did purposefully, and I think he pushed it very, 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 if not over the edge, you know, it was, to me, immediately, I'm like, oh, here's the most interesting part of this, is this clip that was going around of him saying, oh, if you're a white person, you should walk away from black people, without the context of the whole clip. He set it up that way. And what was most interesting is people saying, this has to be a deep fake. That was the telling moment to me. Wow, people won't even believe something they can see and hear, and you know, Scott Adams is quite unique in his speech pattern. There are a lot of people who thought it was a deep fake and not true.
I missed that.
Oh, but the bottom line is, he said, "No, we're effectively committing racism against white people." That's pretty much the bottom line of what he was saying. He's waffling around it a bit, but he says no one disagrees with me on the facts of what I was saying. And he says the only interview he'll do was with Hotep Jesus. I watched the whole thing, and it was really good. And he said, I did this exactly for this reason, and I was going to get rid of Dilbert anyway. He's written, you know, he probably has as much money as Kanye, probably up there in the $400 million range. And he says, this is the post he may or may not die on. I don't think it's over for him. Honestly, I think he has there's a possibility that it won't happen that way, which would really show white supremacy. Because he did the same thing as Kanye, but Kanye's gone, and Scott Adams may just make it out.
We'll see.
But anyway, props. I got to say, I'm not a huge fan because he's full of shit. I don't like how he does stuff. In my personal opinion, I don't like the messing with your audience, trying to, you know, play slippery dicky on everything. Well, here's what I said. Here's what I meant. But I got respect for this.
Well, it's definitely a moment that'll be interesting to follow.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But the white or black, it's a third rail.
No, he totally touched the third rail. But anyone who does that, you get my respect, you know, just for doing it. But don't think that it's going to be fun.
That's for sure.
Not going to be fun. Did you catch the National Day of Hate? Which I didn't get the memo.
Oh, that was a hoax.
Was this a hoax? Because here's how the news reported
it. Yeah, it was a hoax.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, how do you know it's a hoax?
Well, I just looked at the aftermath, and everyone who started getting associated with it said they got nothing to do with it. It was just to slam the Republicans.
Well, here's what we got results. We'll do New Hampshire first.
Well, this weekend, the New Hampshire Department of Safety is urging people in the Granite State to be vigilant following online messaging from extremist groups. They say those groups referenced today as being, quote, National Day of Hate. Though the department did not find any credible threats or scheduled events, They advise people to be more aware this weekend. Anyone who witnesses suspicious activity should immediately call 911.
So that's just little old New Hampshire, you know, just like they just, oh, well, you know, there's some threats out there. That's what's going on. New York, nah, they took it to where it needed to go.
Police departments in our area are ramping up patrols this weekend, most specifically at synagogues on the Sabbath.
Yeah.
It's in response to anti-Semitic groups calling for a nationwide day of hate and protest targeting Jewish communities. News 4's Jen Maxwell
how come they didn't? We didn't get that message in New Hampshire?
Story from Bloomfield.
Here at Temple Ner Tamid in Bloomfield, Shabbat services tonight and tomorrow morning will go on as planned. A neo-Nazi group calling for a day of hate Saturday won't deter Rabbi Mark Katz from noting the one-year anniversary of the Russian invasion of Ukraine.
The focus is going to stay on Ukraine tonight because
of course
people need our attention and we shouldn't let terrorism take that away.
And turn it into a plus for Ukraine. Well done, Rabbi.
We didn't even get any of these stories out here. We all we talked about was snow.
It's just as bad as hate. It's true.
There was a anniversary. I guess it was the story that should have been talked about instead of the National Day of Hate. Is the Malcolm X reopening of the
the murder investigation? Yeah.
Pete, here's a couple of clips. Malcolm X reopened.
This week marked the anniversary of the assassination of Malcolm X. Since that day, 58 years ago, there have been many difficult and painful questions about who may have been involved in his murder and what led to it. This week, Malcolm X's family took new action, announcing their intent to sue several federal and local government agencies for allegedly concealing evidence about what happened.
We want justice served for our father.
Malcolm X's daughter, Ilyasa Shabazz, still searching for answers decades after his assassination. At a press conference this week, Shabazz, surrounded by family and civil rights attorney Ben Crump, announced plans to file a $100 million wrongful death lawsuit against the NYPD, the CIA, FBI, and other government agencies. They allege a conspiracy in connection with Malcolm X's murder and a subsequent cover-up of evidence. On February 21st, 1965, Malcolm X was killed in a hail of bullets just as he was about to give a speech in the Audubon Ballroom in Harlem as his pregnant wife and children ducked for safety. He was 39 years old.
Yeah, that's rather interesting timing to do this now.
Yeah, and we'll place part two, and I have some thoughts.
Three men were arrested and convicted of the crime. In November 2021, after decades of doubt surrounding the case, and following the release of the Netflix documentary, Who Killed Malcolm X, the Manhattan District Attorney reopened the case. Two men who were convicted of murdering Malcolm X in 1966 were exonerated after serving decades in prison. And the district attorney admitted that the FBI and NYPD at the time withheld evidence.
The New York Police Department, the FBI, the district attorney of New York had factual evidence, exculpatory evidence that they fraudulently concealed from the men who were wrongfully convicted.
Yeah.
This is interesting because this was after the CIA allegedly killed JFK in a coup d'etat in 1963. They went on a killing spree. And I sent you a thing for the show notes, which was the list of the all the people that mysteriously died after the Kennedy assassination.
It's a great list. In fact, if you print it out, it would be floor to ceiling if you did a normal font type.
It would be. It's long.
We killed a lot of people, babe.
And the thing about it is, and then it went on to kill Martin Luther King, JFK, and you know, a few people in
it
between.
It was a bonanza.
But they were killing left and right. But it was interesting. A lot of their own people got caught up and mysteriously died themselves, including Woolsey.
Did you count all the names on this list?
No, I was going to count. And I saw there's another list. There's a secondary list.
But what I like most about this is the cause of death. Fall at home. Shooting accident. Hunting accident.
And a lot of people shot in the head. And I want to ask you or anybody else out there, how many people do you personally know who were shot in the head
and live?
I don't know anybody who was, that I know personally, who was shot in the head. And I'm pretty old. You're old, not as old as me, but you've been around long enough.
I do not know of a single person who was shot in the head.
I don't know of a, that's two of us combined, it's over 100 years of experience. We don't know, not a single person, but if you look in this list,
yeah, there's a lot
shot
of,
in the head, yeah, shot in the head, yeah, shot in the head. It's unbelievable.
I like the now this, I like the died well while jogging. I'm gonna I want
that's
that
the
one.
Pricker.
Yeah. died while jogging.
So they were on a murder spree,
yeah,
to clean things up, and they did it. And
it's almost not worth it, the amount of people they had to kill for this, to keep it quiet. You know,
and they didn't keep it quiet.
But you know what this tells me? This tells me that considering that this came from a Netflix special, which of course always comes from a podcast, we need to start a true crime. This is our exit strategy. True crime podcast, Who Killed Hillary? Will be in the future of Who Killed Hillary. And we'll build this whole thing of how she was killed.
It's not going to be very dramatic when she dies at 93, which is what it looks like she's going to happen.
It doesn't matter. We can put people in that frame of mind. It would be, and then we can sell the Netflix rights when she's gone.
To Brunetti.
Yeah, to Brunetti. This has Blockbuster written all over it. And we can get bit parts. Oh, man.
Yeah, well, that would be the
dynamite.
So,
Brunetti.
So that kill list is worth people looking at, because yeah, that's not the Clinton kill list or the this is the real deal kill list, and it killed a lot of famous people, including a lot of their own agents.
Yeah, that's not good. I mean, yeah, there really was, and up until like 96 even.
No, it went into the 70s.
No. October 96, Lawrence Brantley, who sold Jack Ruby the gun that killed Oswald.
No, it goes, there's another secondary list that follows it.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. What am I missing here?
Oh, no, there's dead on there that are after 96. I was thinking you said 66. 96. Or something.
Let's see.
Yeah, it continued for a while.
Yeah.
Loose ends.
Lots of loose ends.
Why take a chance?
Now, to be fair, there's natural causes on this, too.
Yes, but not that many.
Well, they didn't kill Rose Kennedy, do you think?
No.
No. No, she was old.
And there was there are a lot like that too. I agree. And there's even one or two that shouldn't even be on.
But that doesn't matter. We're going to put a lot of people on our list for Hillary Clinton too. Just a lot of them. And we'll just throw like some podcasters on there.
Oh yeah.
You know, like Alex Jones. Oh no, he won't be dead. We need some dead guys.
Oh yeah, you can say anything you want about the dead. I know a lot of people don't know about libel law.
Oh, if you're dead, then you can libel them.
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of, really?
Yeah.
Well, but how about defamation of character? You can't.
The problem is, here's the only problem you can run into it, I believe, in a legal sense.
Rush Limbaugh, he'll be a suspect?
You could probably say Rush Limbaugh you could say anything you want about him. But if there's an estate involved that sells merch, mm-hmm, that has merch, the guy's image or something like
merch,
and you hurt their business,
then you can get in trouble.
Then you can get in trouble. But if there's no merch involved, you're good to go.
I wonder if who has the rights, and if they sell, do they sell? I mean, I see lots of Malcolm X merch.
I think that's all public domain.
Oh.
Although maybe the family has the rights to the...
You would think. Well, another tip here. Another tip from your No Agenda show. You can slander dead people. I like it. I like it. This... We could have I've just invented a whole nother podcast. Shaming. Slandering the dead.
That would, I think a lot of people would listen to a podcast.
I would listen to that for sure. Yeah, slandering the dead. All right, you've got all this January 6th stuff. I'm dying to hear it, just so people understand, when John and I do the show twice a week, we don't have, well, we have thousands of producers, but we don't have line producers and people giving us scripts and stuff. No, we do our own work. We do our own clips. Of course, sometimes we receive clips from people. We have clip custodian, I'd be the first to say. But we never listen to each other's clips. I don't even know what they are. I throw them into a bin. They're in alphabetical order. Sometimes the misspellings are even hard to find what clip it is. But when I see Jan 6 footage PBS and I see a series, you have my attention.
So everybody on the left is
up in arms.
Up in arms about the fact that Tucker Carlson has got the first shot at the 42,000 hours of January 6th footage.
Yeah. Yes.
And PBS is no exception. They're very left nowadays. They're much more so than ever before. And they have this little Jardin, the Lisa Desjardins girl.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
To do this kind of rundown, and she's just lopsided when it comes to being a lefty.
Her face is lopsided. Have you ever noticed
and
that?
They have, that and they gave, she lopsided. Did such a good job on this on the Friday show that they gave her the Saturday show for a day. She got to host it.
Oh, nice.
That's the way I see it. So let's listen to the outrage. January 6th footage. This is the intro, part one.
Some Republicans are once again relitigating what happened at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th.
Relitigating.
With House Speaker Kevin McCarthy sharing key video footage of the Capitol attack with a star Fox personality. Lisa Desjardins brings us up to speed about how it happened and what Tucker Carlson hopes to find in the footage.
It makes so much sense now that out of the Dominion discovery from the Dominion lawsuit, which quite plainly also stated that their own employees of Dominion thought their software was crap, the machines were hackable, results could easily be changed. Instead, what came out of that was this long narrative that was just hammered by competing news networks talking about how the Fox people, they didn't, they didn't believe anything what Trump was saying. It was, and even Tucker Carlson, like, they were publicly, they were all for it, but privately, they weren't. And so now somehow,
which is a lie.
Yeah, of course, it's a lie. But now they're turning this around and making it look like Tucker Carlson is going to, even though he doesn't believe it, he's going to make a case for Trump. Is that what that was all preemptive?
Yeah, kind of. I said that angle's in there. She does bring up the insincerity hoax around all these guys in this report of hers. Mm-hmm. But you can tell it's very slanted and shamefully so, I'd say. But here we go. Let's listen to this, January 6th footage 2.
For months, he asked for access.
You can't know whether the Capitol's surveillance cameras pan, tilt, or zoom.
And now Tucker Carlson has it. This week, Republican Speaker Kevin McCarthy granted the Fox News host access to 44,000 hours of security footage from Capitol grounds on January 6th. Carlson controls a primetime hour on the most watched cable network.
On the basis of a wholly created myth about what happened that day.
And has been a megaphone for baseless conspiracy theories that deflect blame from former President Trump, including the idea that rioters on January 6th were actually victims of a government false flag plot. He sees surveillance footage as possible evidence. Carlson's words over the last 2 years reveal the narrative he wants.
Ray Epps was standing in exactly the same place that a lot of people who went to jail were standing. But he wasn't charged. His name was taken off the FBI's most wanted list. Why is that?
But evidence shows that Ray Epps, an Arizona man who was at the Capitol, was telling protesters to calm down.
Bah! What?
That's a lie.
That's a total lie. Yeah, he was telling the people who were calling him a Fed, he was like, calm down. And they were going, Fed, Fed, Fed. Wow.
Well, and he was telling people, let's charge the building. He was urging everyone to go bust in. So we start off this report with
Hold on. Did any new information come to light? Is there something that she had in her report that showed that showed this? Then that's baseless.
It is. Everything is baseless in her report. But my favorite thing is, of course, that what was she said? Baseless conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
Does that mean all the other conspiracy theories aren't baseless, or what's she talking about? So this kind of loaded language really bothers me, by the way. as you noticed over the years.
Well, that's because, you know, you believe in the institution that is the PBS. I mean, you clearly believe in this being fair.
It was once the nation's treasure.
I thought that was NPR.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, same thing.
National
treasure. Okay, let's go with, after hearing the Ray Epps bull crap, let's go into clip three.
With telling protesters to calm down, and Carlson's allegation that Epps was working for the FBI has been debunked. USA! USA! Overall, there's no evidence of undercover law enforcement instigating the rioters.
Yeah, I think the public should see what has happened on the...
In granting Fox News access, McCarthy keeps a promise to hardline members in his conference from negotiations boosted by Carlson himself. McCarthy told the New York Times this week that the tapes belong to the public and he wants sunshine on them. But Carlson is not a neutral arbiter. He has condemned violence, but also defended the motivations behind it.
How, for example, did senile hermit Joe Biden get 15 million more votes than his former boss, rock star crowd surfer Barack Obama?
Despite raising conspiracies, recent court filings show Carlson and other top Fox News stars didn't believe some of the pro-Trump claims.
No, there you go.
So what was that clip about? Why did they throw that gratuitous clip in there about Biden and Obama? It's just like... This is a very poorly put together package.
Well, no, that's okay. That is.
And by the way, I took a lot of Carlson stuff out of this when I edited it down. Thank goodness.
Now, the reason that's in there is to show that they're all in on the big lie that the election was stolen, the big lie, which of course is exactly what is insinuating. So yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Onward with issue four. I think we're on four.
Yeah.
Didn't believe some of the pro-Trump claims. In text messages, Carlson wrote about a one-time Trump advisor. Sidney Powell is lying, by the way. I caught her. It's insane. Carlson's not the first to access these tapes. They've already been reviewed by the House Select Committee investigating January 6th, last Congress. Republicans accused the group of cherry-picking those clips, and Fox did not air much of its hearings.
Wow, this is subpar. This is really
subpar. It's par. All right.
Yeah, par for them. You're right. You're
so that this goes on, and this is a long report, actually, and it ends with, I don't know what they got out of it. And they go back to the news, and then they bring in Brooks and Capehart at the end. And what's the first thing they've got to talk about?
Do I get to guess, or we just play it?
Well, I think you know, which is the stupid January 6th footage. But let's listen to these. I got two of these. That's the end of it.
Yeah.
And this is Brooks and Capehart. And I think they start with Capehart, who just makes a fool of himself, in my opinion, by what he has to say.
Let's pick up where Lisa left off there, Jonathan. This idea, Speaker McCarthy has handed over these thousands of hours of security footage to Tucker Carlson. There are those who argue, just let everyone see everything and make up their own minds about it. Is there validity to that?
Well, sure, simply because the speaker has given all of this footage to Tucker Carlson. If you're going to give it to him, you should give it to MSNBC, CNN, give it to everyone, give it to PBS, give it to everyone so that they can look at it. But you know what? I don't need to see 44,000 hours worth of footage. I watched our government being attacked by supporters of the former president live on television in real time over several hours.
No, okay. Well, then that settles it. We'll take your word for it. We'll take your word for it. Yeah, we all saw it.
I saw the riots. I did too.
Yeah,
I watched it on C-SPAN. It was people milling around. But okay.
Yeah.
So then they go to Brooks.
I think that guy listens to Coldplay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, to Brooks.
So now Brooks makes it even... this is unbelievable.
Is that a cue?
Yeah, it was.
And so you want to pick the Edward Murrow of our day, Tucker Carlson.
You want to listen to the Edward R. Murrow of our day, which he used as an insult.
Which no,
and
no
all
one
laughed and laughed.
Okay, only people over 60, I'm an exception, understand that joke.
And besides that, I think it's beneath anyone is who's no. It's just a. I think it's a low, low shot or whatever you call it.
Low blow. Low blow.
Low blow. Low blow. It's a low blow.
All right, here we go.
And chicken so do you want to? But anyway, let's go. Sorry.
The Edward Moreau Varday, Tucker Carlson. I'll laugh. I think in general, opening it up, as long as they protect the procedures of this, the Capitol security, and as long as you don't release those, opening up widely, giving anything, any public official giving everything to a one news organization, that's just bizarre and against the rules of what we do. If you give it to one news organization, it should be a dump off the record. But just doing it out in front of the day, it just it's not done. You give it to the public.
Oh, he even slips in it. Well, off the record, of course. You know, I mean, we get that's okay. We get off the record all the time, and that's normal. I mean, we get
that little. Yeah, I'm glad you caught that little slip.
Of course, of course.
But it was like. What are you talking about? Exclusives are exclusives. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
You do quid pro quos.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you this and you stop talking about me.
Yeah, they can't believe that they didn't get it. And they know that, of course, with this footage, you can make it look like anything you want. You could make it look like the cafeteria at Star Wars if you want.
Oh, yeah. You could do whatever you want.
I'm sorry. Star Trek. Almost got in trouble for that one. Yeah.
The cafeteria. Which cafeteria? Yeah, the if you're thinking of that bar that's in Star Wars, that's the one that you want to refer to.
That's Star Trek. That's not Star Wars. That's
Star Trek. Star Wars is the bar. Star Trek is the little place where they have the replicators.
Neither of us may be qualified to discuss this.
I can. I've seen every one of these stories.
Okay, it's the one where they have like the three boobed ladies serving drinks.
Yeah, Star Wars.
Star Wars? That's Star Wars?
Yeah.
I thought it was Star Trek.
Oh, no. Star Trek is Captain Kirk.
It's Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Yeah, it's Next Generation. It's one of those.
All right. Oh, my God.
I know, it'll be emails for the next 3 weeks. I know, I'm sorry. Shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have done it. I know. All right.
Anyway, so that back to this, they make a big fuss. They're trying to obviously make it look like it's going to be bull crap, whatever Tucker does.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be that. All right.
Well, I have some global stuff, world stuff. Big. We were talking about Yeltsin, also known as Treasury Secretary Yellen. She's been on a world tour. Going to Africa. You don't hear much about it. Going all over the world, but mainly in Africa and talking about the changes and talking about climate change. I mean, I really don't understand why she is doing this. Well, I do. I think I do understand, but it doesn't really fit in her true job description as she's supposed to be addressing stuff here at home. But she is on the promotional trip around the world, mainly in Africa, telling people, "Oh, we're going to change how we fund stuff. We're going to change development. We're going to change. You know, we need the World Bank. How many times do we hear? Well, the World Bank needs to change its charter. In other words, how can we take more money from rich countries and put it in our pocket? But this was interesting." Because she's not just talking to countries anymore. She's talking at a micro level.
Last fall, I issued an urgent call ahead of the World Bank and IMF annual meetings for the evolution of the multilateral development bank system. My reasoning was simple. The world has changed, and we need these vital institutions to change along with it.
In other words, we need more money.
The bank must be bolder and more imaginative in its operational approach.
Imaginative. What can I come up with today? Everyone's so creative.
For example, we know that subnational entities can sometimes have greater expertise and willingness to implement innovative projects. So what if we made it easier for cities to gain access to funding for climate-smart urban infrastructure? operationally, we believe it's also important for the bank to develop new measures of success, such as clear targets that reflect its efforts to address both traditional goals as well as global challenges. Lending from China has become extremely important. In the case of Zambia, China's debt is something like 14% of Zambia's GDP. It's the largest single creditor, and so China really needs to come to the table. And China's lack of willingness to comprehensively participate and to move in a timely way has really been a roadblock.
All right, China, bad. China bad, China bad, China bad. And
what does she expect from China?
I must request that when the main feature is playing, you refrain from cleaning up your office or throwing balls at cans or whatever you were doing. I have to ask you to be quiet in the theater.
All right.
But the other thing that she said was, what if we could go and finance cities? So no longer countries. No, let's go direct to the city level, which has been a problem already in the United States. There are cities that have taken money from China. Cities, actual U.S. cities. And how about that coincidence? If the World Bank wants to help fund some cities for climate change, well, what could we do? Oh, hello, Cleveland.
What exactly does that mean, 15-minute city?
Well, Jay, Cleveland says it hopes to be the first city in the U.S. to implement this model. And the idea is pretty simple. Everything you need is within 15 minutes of where you live, either on foot, by bike, or transit. It first took off in Paris instead of centralized downtowns where...
What took off in Paris? I'm sorry. When you say it first took off in Paris, are they calling the Parisian arrondissement system a 15-minute city now? That's ghettoized, lady.
Well, the 15-minute city, as far as I know, first began in England.
Yes, in Oxford.
Yeah, in Oxford.
But she's pretending like it's a big success in Paris.
Well, maybe she wants to go take a trip to Paris so she can do an on-the-street report.
Oh, well, then I can't blame her.
Foot, by bike, or transit. It first took off in Paris instead of centralized downtowns where people work and separate places where they live. Why shouldn't everything be closer?
Yeah.
Well, that reduced proximity is greener, it's more sustainable, and it creates more solidarity between neighbors. But you can't start from scratch, obviously. So it's about repurposing existing spaces. Mayor Bibb said last night it'll be about people first, not developers. Well, city planners today told me they will aim to find out how residents might want to see their community change and make sure that the city's zoning restriction policies and their policies around development align. And the first step for that is making a list.
Things like grocery stores, schools, parks, but also other things like barbershops.
Listen to this. Okay. I love this. First of all, I'm so sorry to hear this, Cleveland. You're about to be destroyed. But now you hear one of these city planners, and you know he has a collarless sweater, no shirt underneath it. He's got blown out ear from a big gauge. He's got a beard. He's your typical.
What, he's got gauged ears?
Yeah, he's your typical soy boy.
And oh my God!
Who is running the city? Who has some apparent power and is, well, here's what we discussed and here's what we thought we would need. What are the services the people need? I have seen these people in Austin. They destroy your cities.
Fine. And the first step for that is making a list.
Things like grocery stores, schools, parks, but also other things like barbershops, cafes, a general list of amenities and needs that we think as city officials, we know and have heard from residents that they want to be able to access. But the goal is for it to be iterative. We want to eventually take this model to communities and have them and tell us what exactly needs or amenities they really see as being valuable that they want access to.
And I love how he throws in barbershops. You heard something about black people, son? Is that what it is? Oh yeah, we need barbershops because black people need barbershops. They're going to destroy this city.
And while they are finding some neighborhoods have great access on paper, maybe the quality is lacking due to busted sidewalks or lack of bike lanes or bus stops.
Potholes.
And whether it's green space we're talking about or food justice, some neighborhoods are just lacking altogether here in Cleveland. Ultimately, in a 15-minute city, not every 15-minute radius looks the same, but it serves people with opportunities to access the things they want to get to in their day-to-day lives.
So, why not?
Do they mention that, it like in the Oxford experiment, they're going to fine you money if you leave your 15-minute segment?
The red zone is for white people only. The blue zone is for black people only. Please stay in your zone, citizen. If you want a barbershop, you need to be in the blue. This is racist. It is xenophobic. It is it separates people. It puts them in boxes. It has already completely failed in Oxford. People are up in arms about it. Again, the arms are up. And the world,
don't shoot.
And the World Bank, led by Janet Yellen now for some reason, is going to support these cities. And if you're in one of them, you should stop. They got a new guy in to run the World Bank.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I think now that I've got to stop you, because now we got to back up to that comment about Paris. That's the reason they're gonna switch it from Oxford, where it's a flop of an idea and nobody likes it. Don't even mention that. Hey, you can turn Cleveland into Paris.
Oh, that's great. Although
slick.
Very slick, but Paris, some of these sectors now in Paris are complete no-go zones. You know this. You keep your eye on Paris. Well, so who do you need to bring in to make this happen? You need someone who understands microfinance. You okay? I have not heard you with a cough like that in a long time. Are you okay?
I got parched throat early in the show.
Oh, okay.
From something, some voice I did or something.
Oh.
And I have been trying to get rid of it. I'm now sucking on a lozenge.
Your acting is bringing your health down. Some voice you were doing.
I need a voice vocal lesson so I don't hurt myself.
Hurt yourself. Let's go to this Bloom. Excuse me, it's spreading. Let's go to this Bloomberg report. When we meet the new head of the World Bank, it's a doozy.
What do we know about his credentials for the job? Why is he the right person for the job, do you think, in the White House's mind?
Well, the World Bank's job is economic development and poverty reduction, and he's spent a lot of his time when he's not been running MasterCard or right now his job as vice chairman of Atlantic, of General Atlantic, on these kinds of issues.
His name is Ajay Banga. He is currently the running, I think, the microfinance section of MasterCard. He is a World Economic Forum guy. He's the perfect guy.
These kinds of issues. He's been a co-chair of the Partnership for Central America, where he worked closely with Vice President Kamala Harris on efforts to bring business and development to Central America to try to stem some of the refugees flowing north to the United States. But he's also worked very closely with microfinance. He was at Citigroup heading their strategy on microfinance for a number of years. So he's familiar with the whole process of poverty reduction and economic development, and at the same time has a lot of management experience in his time at MasterCard. Interestingly enough, Guy, he went to a school in Hyderabad in India that has produced not just Ajay Banga, but also Shantanu Narayan of Adobe and Satya Nadella of Microsoft. So they've all gone to the same elementary school, private school in Hyderabad, India.
It's a cabal. It's a cabal. The Indian cabal. They're taking over.
Well, he's also from IIT, typical Indian, the Brahmin that comes out of Indian Institute of Technology.
Mm-hmm. Those guys, when it comes to equity, they're the ones you want, right? They're so fair to all classes.
Yeah.
I'd say
You're untouchable. So
those
we
guys
do have a couple
of
Brahmins that listen to our show. I'm sure
they cracked up over
their commentary.
Yeah, they cracked up over that, no doubt. Yeah, 15-minute cities. I love the Paris example, though. That just blows me away. That, as far as I know, there's never been a 15-minute city. They're just making it up.
And Paris is definitely not a 15-minute city.
Yeah.
If anyone's ever been there knows that.
And it's gone so down. Let me see. I haven't actually Googled this. So if I look at the 15-minute city Wikipedia entry.
Consult the book of knowledge.
It says right off the bat here, the 15-minute city was influenced by cities such as Paris.
Yeah, they're slipping it in. Check the dates. Go into the history of that comment and see when it began.
Okay. Hold on. Is delivered historical walkability, proximity. As an inspiration for the 15-minute city, an advisor to Anne Hidalgo, Professor Carlos Marino, cited Jane Jacobs' model presented in The Death and Life of Great American Cities.
Excellent book.
So the ongoing...
In fact, it's a fabulous book. It will have nothing to do with anything they're talking about, especially that gauged ear dude.
Parisian Mayor Anne Hidalgo introduced the 15-minute city concept in her 2020 re-election campaign. So they just walked, they backed it into it. That's what they did. Said, well, you know, luckily...
Did she use the term 15-minute city?
She
introduced the concept doesn't mean that she coined a phrase.
Let me see. Paris.
I think this is being reversed.
I have The Guardian from February 7th, 2020. And it says the Paris mayor and Hidalgo has made phasing out vehicles and creating a 15-minute city a key pillar of her offering at the launch of her re-election campaign. So she must
have. That
was
in 2020?
Yep, she must have.
So you got 23 years. What's happened so far? Has Paris turned into a car-free zone?
It was 2020. It's 3 years ago.
Oh, 3 years ago. I'm sorry. I'm thinking 20.
Yeah. Well, it was during COVID, you know, so she just threw it in there. Here it is. Called the Ville du Quart d'Heure, the quarter-hour city. Not quite a 15-minute city. I like it, though. The quarter-hour city. Well,
they have to use 15 minute. They can't use quarter hour because then the millennials wouldn't know what you're talking about.
And with that, I'd like to thank you for your courage. Say in the morning to you, the man who put the sea in the baseless conspiracy theories. Ladies and gentlemen, please say hello to my friend on the other end, Mr. John C. DeVore.
In the morning to you, Mr. Adam Curry. In the morning, the ships, sea boots, the ground, feet in the air, subs in the water. Dames and knights out there.
In the morning to the trolls in the troll room. Oh, we got a lot going on today. Hello there, trolls. You probably heard us talking about them. If you have a modern podcast app, which you can get now at podcastapps.com. Don't go anywhere that's new. Just get a podcast app at podcastapps.com. You can listen along to the live stream. You got the troll room. It alerts you if using Podverse, Podcast Addict, CurioCaster. There's many more there that you can use. And you can actually troll along. Hop into the troll room. Let me see how many trolls we have there today. What do we have? I didn't get it. What do we have? 2265.
Yeah.
That's about on par, right?
That's the average.
Average. You're average, trolls. You're just average. Nothing special. Just average. No, if you want the special stuff, then you want to go to our social network, which is noagendasocial.com. I don't know if we have, we limited at 10,000. So, that opens up after people have, if you're inactive for a year, your account will be purged. You'll get a 2-week warning, I think, and then you're done. So you can either sign up there or you can get a Mastodon. I mean, these things are common now. Everyone has a Mastodon account. You got to have one. Get yourself a Mastodon account. Follow Adam at noagendasocial.com or John C. Dvorak at noagendasocial.com and join the conversation. It's a lot of fun. Our entire system here is value for value. For those of you who are about to power through this or about to just fast forward, I would like to read a quick email from one of our producers who said, and this is John. Hi, guys. John here from Ireland. So we're international on this one. Wow. He says, as a father to hopefully be later this year, I was amazed by the donation section. I had to send a quick note. Now that's why you should listen to the donation section. Thank you a million in advance, as I was about to become a vasectomy victim in a couple of years. All the best, he says, John. There you go. He learned something important. He saved something that he was dear to him. His masculine looks.
Kept another guy away from the denutting mill.
The denutting mill.
Show exactly. Title.
Yes. Well, write it down then. Denutting.
No, don't bother.
It sounds a little off color. But value for value means that anything you do to support this show is appreciated, and you do it because you get something out of it. This is the point. If you're not getting any value of no agenda, don't support us. Don't do anything. Walk away. Listen to us at 5x speed. Hijack your nervous system. Whatever you do, go away. Just go away from us.
Trini Lopez.
That's right. Again, right up there with Edward E. Morrow, everybody.
Okay. Edward Arm.
Yeah, whatever.
Edward E. Murrow.
I was thinking of
Alfred E. Newman.
Whoa, another one half the audience doesn't understand. There you go. Well, we're on a collision course now.
And here we go talking about the old times.
This is the idea is, if you get anything of value out of the show, please give it back to us. The easiest way of the trifecta, time, talent, and treasure, is to send us something through PayPal or however you prefer. We, of course, will take cash, checks, whatever you want, money orders. And really, the idea is that you determine the value. We can't determine what it's worth to you. We also don't know what a lot or little is to you. So you do that. You determine all that. And you can do it at our website. You can find out more at dvorak.org/NA. Or you could do something like our artists do. Our artists are putting together art for the show. We changed it up every single episode. And they're working in real time. Why? And these are pros. A lot of these are really big pros. And often amateurs who do pro work. And we choose it right after the show. And it's really important, because we have noticed that having changing art, that particularly for the promotion of the episode, is incredibly important. Works really well. And we want to thank Fluff Comet, who brought us the artwork for episode 1532. We titled that Bay Gin. It's a new kind of gin we're working on. Bay Gin. And this was we had already teed it up, because we saw this as we were doing the previous donation segment, that this was a nice piece. This was the graffiti, as I would say in Texas or in California, graffiti. No agenda, even with the show number, which we typically will not even accept.
Yeah, there's only one flaw in the piece.
Okay.
Which is, you can't read Dvorak. It just says Curry.
Well, it says Dvorak. It's in purple.
Purple. Yeah, it's just hard to read.
All right. Okay. So if you want to have John on your side, make Dvorak a little bit bigger than Curry.
Well, I picked this piece from the get-go because I like this style of art. If someone can pull it off, it's very difficult. With that piece, which is, side of a wall or something, that is not the easiest thing for anybody to do and make it look. It doesn't, to keep the composition high and make the thing have a nice balance. It looks good. It's a beautiful piece.
In fact, since we had mentioned it with the show number in there, Fluff Comet did one, took it away and replaced it with goat or something, and it ruined the piece. We said, no. We want the original piece. That's how subtle it is, really. Sometimes the difference can be in just
in the
original composition. We liked it. We also liked, which I think he used for the newsletter, the wave,
the wave
by Maid Marriott.
Yeah, it's a takeoff of a famous Japanese print called The Wave, over somewhere or other. Everyone's used. It's been copied
Fukushima,
repurposed a million times, and I just never seen this version of it. It's very pretty. So I use it for the newsletter. But I think the pieces we really liked that we never picked included Joey from Comic Strip Blogger.
It was not appropriate as art, but it was a funny bit. Can you turn your speakers down just a tad?
Yeah.
Slap them back. It was our president on his ass at some stairs, of course, where he usually winds up. We did like that one. We also
he did another fall recently, on the plane from Poland.
Poland, yeah, we saw it.
It wasn't that funny.
No. No, it wasn't a good one. Funny to see Melvin Gibstein with No Agenda Artists Out of Ideas homeless on the street. That was funny. There was a couple of Dame Kenny Ben also had a artist out of ideas with just an easel with question mark. The out of ideas really showed that you're out of ideas even for out of ideas. Which is interesting.
So one other one I thought that we liked.
Oh, we did think the IO Monk broken out of ideas. I liked it with the artist with his head on the desk.
Yeah, that's cute.
Kind of like a stockbroker, you know, out of ideas, completely lost. Like it's never going to happen.
I think on the ledge, ready to jump, might have been.
Yeah, on the ledge. There you go. That would have been closer. I think that was really it. Was there anything else that we?
No.
No, I think you're right. We appreciate Fluff Comet and all of the artists who participated in doing this. It's highly appreciated. It's very hard to do.
They have their own. All the artists should definitely be an account with No Agenda Social where they like to kibitz.
Yeah, and yeah, talk about it and congratulate each other. You know, I'm sure there's lots of DMs. That a-hole got it again.
You know, these guys, you know, if they knew anything, really knew anything about art, anything, they would do that.
Yeah, they would be roundy every day if we knew about art. Exactly. Yeah. That's right. Thank you again to all of the artists who really do appreciate it. It's great work, all of it. And you can also see that in your modern podcast app. Now on CarPlay and Android Auto with some of them. And now we go to a special thanks to everyone who came in above $200. Between $200 and $300 is associate executive producer. Get it while you can because inflation is going to move that up probably at the end of the quarter. And $300 or above is executive producer of this episode. And we start off with Sir Dave Delecto from Plymouth, Minnesota, with $1,040. That is interesting. 1,040 haven't donated for a while, but figure that it's worth at least $5 a show. So this makes me good for 4 years. Oh, lots of people do this too. Interestingly.
Yeah.
Enough.
By the way, this is a reference to 1040, the tax form.
Oh, yes. Wait, does he say that?
No, that's what it is.
Well, that's kind of interesting. Okay. Once a shut up slave. Oh, wait a minute. Hope your exit plan doesn't kick in the first. Kick in first. Before what? I don't know. We're still here, bro. I'm calling out Joe Rogan, Tucker Carlson, and Glenn Beck as douchebags.
Douchebag.
I don't know why. I don't know if they listen. Their producers do, but I don't think they listen. Sir Dave Delecto.
Maybe the producers will appreciate it.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Let's see. Do we have an OG? He wants a Sharpton OG teleprompter, which is the
carryover.
What's that?
I'm just wondering why you've got more stuff on here.
Hey, well, hold on. I'm going to do his jingle.
Shut up. Slave.
Resist, we much, we must. They're all jitty about a shutdown. The Tortoise in the race.
There it is.
Yeah, I found it.
Hubris.
Hubris.
Lead singer Bono, Fran Drescher, Sigourney Weaver, suspect Jahar Sanayev, Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh, Rush Limbaugh, the show Rush Lombard hosts Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor.
All right. The Al. Rev Al, always giving. Always giving, 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 giving.
Robert Woods up from Azle. Is it Azle or Asley? Azle, Texas?
Ah.
556.
I have a feeling it's Asley. I have a feeling it's Asley.
It might be Asley.
Yeah.
55645. And he says, ITM, the Freedom Seeds 55645 donation today throws me over the top for knighthood.
Nice.
Please knight me as Sir Robert of the Freehold, and I request inclusion of Brisket and Bach.
Yeah, Shiner Bach. You got it. You got it.
at the round table for all the knights and dames who have given me the show out of their wallets so far. Okay. Number fracto. My donation below totals to 1022. The Ruger 1022 rifle is the most popular 22 in the United States. Didn't plan it that way. Further confirmation, the best podcast in the universe exists in a nexus of random number theories.
Oh, hello.
Godspeed, gentlemen. Robert.
All right, Robert, thank you. We'll have you up on the podium momentarily. Lady Rebecca comes in from Pinehurst, North Carolina. Our favorite executive producer number, 333.33. Lent donation number one, and you are the first who called it as such. For all Catholics to come back to Mass, Lady Rebecca of Pinehurst. Thank you, Lady Rebecca.
Sir David in Bel Air, Texas. Could be pronounced Bellary.
No, it's Bel Air.
Charlie Rose, Sex DNA, shut up already at Science Numbers Station, is which is a request for jingles. Enjoying the amygdala shrinkage and balloon piercing. Let's continue to unravel the media narratives. The brainwashing is getting scary. Sir David, the Fresh Prince of Bellary.
Okay.
Tell me about the sexuality. It's in your DNA.
Shut up already. It's science.
And I didn't get the number station, did I? Numbers station. Sorry, that one I forgot to line up. There it is.
India, Tango, Mike. Stand by. 33, 33, 33.
Rubbleizer out. There you go. Once you do these next two ones, I'll grab the long one here.
Sir John of Cincinnati, Ohio, 333.33, and he says no jingles, no karma. Good for you. We'll give him a double up karma.
Yes, we will.
You've got karma.
John Craig in Littleton, Colorado, 33333. We love you both. Since it's my 54th birthday, I'm giving you my present. This might make me a knight, but it matters not. You two matter the most, and value and your value for value model.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, John Craig. Sir David is in Grapevine, Texas. Switcheroo. Oh, okay. This is credit my wife, he says. Future Dame Karen. Okay. And that is changed. No jingles, but the best jobs karma you have. Too many 33, so I need to donate. Yes, just people notice this. When they see a lot of 33s, they often go, whoa, time. I was knighted during the 1500 drive, but was never deduced. Well, let's fix that right away.
You've been deduced.
This is a switcheroo for future Dame Karen, my wife of 33 years, and they never had a fight, obviously, so she can be formally acknowledged for the great lady she's always been for our boys, and I will see she's a dame for her upcoming birthday. I need the karma because after 33 years with my current employer, coincidence, our complete enterprise technology department was sold off. On March 1st, I am both retired and starting over with a new company doing the same old job. I need my Indian overlords to keep me around for a couple of years. Any help is appreciated. There's been a ton of lesser 33s, too. These were just motivational. As you're reading this, we'll be in the hill country drinking wine. Huh. Adam needs to get out more and visit the locals. There's a cool speakeasy in High. I've been. Everybody needs more smart cocktails in their life. Love is lit. The speakeasy in High is fantastic. The gate code is 1776.
Jobs.
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 Jobs. Jobs. Jobs.
Jobs. Jobs.
You've got karma.
We have to grow grapes in Grapevine.
Mm-hmm.
Sir NBS in Chicago, Illinois, 30171. ITM, this donation brings you to Baron status with a total of $3,333.33 donated to the greatest podcast in the universe, accounting attached. I'd like to be upgraded to Baron NBS of the trading floor. No jingles, all goat karma. Thanks for everything you do, gents. Sir NBS.
You got it.
You've got karma.
Then we have Richard Bamsberger, Elko, Nevada, $300. He says he sent a note to notes@noagendashow.com. No, wrong, wrong. Noagendashow.net. .net. .net. So you'll have to send it because we didn't get it. Our first associate executive producer is Dixon Craig from St. Albert, California. $250 and no notes, so we'll give you a double up karma as well.
You've got double up karma.
Angela Pickering in Sour Lake, Texas.
A lot of Texans today.
Yeah, a lot of Texans in today.
Yes.
Sour Lake. It's where Joe Biden likes to go. Got hairy legs. $228.75. I thought treating myself to an associate executive producership was a pretty good way to celebrate my birthday this Tuesday. Hopefully, I can get a chance to hear John say the name of my town with disdain. Funny.
That is funny.
Because I didn't read the note, but I did it anyway.
You did.
Sour Lake, Texas. Sour Lake, Texas.
By the way, for all the kids, say that to your mom. You got hairy legs. That's what you need to do.
I got hairy legs.
Sir Ignite of Ignite Films in Kill Devil's Hill.
Oh, by the way, let me finish her note.
Oh, I'm sorry.
She said that Sour Lake is a sweet place to live. So screw me.
So screw me.
It's sweet, sour. Get it?
Yeah, I got it. Sir Ignite of Ignite Films in Kill Devil Hills, North Carolina, 216.23. Right. This donation is in honor of my friend and fellow NA listener, Paul, and his girlfriend, Lauren. Paul dropped to a knee on February 16th, 2023, and proposed marriage. Luckily for him, she said yes. So to Paul and Lauren, my smoking hot wife, Sarah, and I love you and adore you both, and we're excited for your union. Both of your potentials are only enhanced by coming together as one. We're excited to see what this journey will bring for the two of you. No Agenda Nation, raise your chalices of mead. John, raise your PBR high into the air and salute this blessed union. Adam, throw these young lovers a little goat karma. John, we're still working on your bit part. Crack and Buzz, love you both. Keep up the great work. Here's your goat, kids.
You've got karma.
Yeah. North Carolina filmmakers. It's all about the distribution. Surfacologist in Toronto, California. See note attached. Note 1533. Oh, look. I have it right here.
Yes, you do.
And it's real. Mm-hmm. You can tell. Dear Crackpot and Buzzkill, thank you for your continued podcast of excellence. Your promotion of Podcasting 2.0, your value-for-value model of funding, and your insistence on top audio quality make your podcast the model for me to follow. I have two podcasts that incorporate your leading way of thinking, Fakeologist Audio Chats and Fakeologist Show on your favorite Podcast 2.0 Index app. I also created my own video platform, Fakotube.com.
Catchy. I like it. Fakotube.
A user-funded site where I post my top truth videos and live stream my show. No Agenda Nation is welcome to check my sites. And thanks for hot linking them in your show notes. Sir Fakeologist of Toronto.
I'm just looking at the chat, the troll room. I just saw Lady Phoenix hint at Phone Boy that he needs to propose to her. Like a little ring emoji. I'm just really? Saying. Yeah, I'm just saying.
Well, a lot of love in the air.
There is love in the air. I think
and
it's
snow.
Us. I think it's us. I think we promote love in the air. Don't you?
I hope so.
These are our executive and associate executive producers for episode 1533. A lot of people picked up on the fact that it's a 33 episode, and we do have some special 73 donations coming up. John will explain where that came from. But we'd like to thank these people because they get a forever credit, which is good forever, in perpetuity. You are now officially executive producer or associate executive producer of The No Agenda Show, episode 1533. You can use these credits anywhere credits are recognized, which means LinkedIn, that's a good place to do it, or IMDb. It's an actual production credit. Go ahead, take a look. You'll see that some pretty big wigs from Hollywood even have their credits listed there. And thank you all for supporting The No Agenda Show. John will take us through to the 50s as we get ready for our knighting ceremony.
Sure. Sure, sure.
Sure, Adam.
Cerveza in Florissant, Colorado starts us off with $125.25. That's 500 quarters. That's interesting. Sir Kevin McLaughlin bumps right to the top with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What's he doing there?
What?
He says, Locust, North Carolina, December 7th, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Zelle plus Mechanics Bank fail. Okay, well, Kevin, you're going to have to tell me what the hell that's all about.
Yeah.
And Anonymous in Naperville, Illinois, 100, first-time donation.
Oh.
So he needs a de-douching.
You've been de-douched.
Sir Todd in Ripon, Wisconsin, 100. Jeff Jindra in Andover, Minnesota, 100. In honor of his smoking hot wife. Codename Bombshell.
Woo! You got to turn down your speakers more, man. It's up. Shit's up a lot.
I think it's my mic's too loud.
Oh, is that it? Okay.
Yeah, because I made a mistake and turned it on too high. Len Len Qualkenbush in Winfield, Illinois, 100. Dame Christina Pearl.
Oh, yes. We know Dame Christina Pearl. Yeah, I know her.
Deputy Indiana, 8008. Sir Kevin McLaughlin, here he is. Actually, we're giving him associate executive
Hold on. I'm sorry. Because it's a boob donation, that's why I looked, Dame Christina Pearl. She says she wants Tata Karma for her mom, who is going in for a lumpectomy on Monday. So that's why she's doing a special boob donation to save some boobs. We'll do it at the end, Dame Christina.
Back to Kevin. So he's coming in with his 8008 as usual for about 140 times in a row. But because he did 123 in the same day, we're going to give him
up. Associate exec.
Move him up.
Yep. Associate
exec. Gary Blatt, 7777. Thomas Balmer in Wayne City, Iowa, 7777. Mike Hebner in Winthrop Harbor, Illinois. 7734, and he says, he's funny. He says he's claiming partial credit for the spouse safe donation. I don't get that because the spouse safe donation came from a very specific guy who came up with the math, and that is 7373. And I'm going to read these off in order. These are the spouse safe donations, which means it's not that much money. And it won't get your wife.
It won't get your wife mad, or your husband,
or your husband. Yeah, well, it's mostly the wives. Michael Rogan in Evansville. He said what? Michael Rogan in Evansville, Indiana. 7373. Matthew Repko in Leesport, Pennsylvania. Steve Sibelius in Moorhead, Minnesota. Now, Sir Tooth Fairy in Valparaiso, Indiana. Sir Mango Meat, Detroit, Michigan. Taylor Bridges in Cohoes, which is two hoes in New York City, but it is New York. Greg Hartlob in Cincinnati, Ohio. Sir Jim Zuckall in Tucson, Arizona. Millennium Knight in Laverne, California. And I believe Millennium Knight is the one who came up with this idea, which he turns out he coined the terms spouse safe, and he came up with this donation of three prime numbers multiplied 3 × 7 × 73. You get the show number, which is 1533, and if you add 1533 together, you get 12, and 2 + 1 = 3. And boom, we have an unbelievable promotion in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that 9.5 people took part in.
That's right. Boom. This means that Obama is the Antichrist. If you add it up that way, I'm sure that's part of it.
Absolutely. Simon Smith continues with in Heber City, Utah for 6969. Zachary Selig in West Bloomfield, Michigan. He says, dude, I listen at 0.5 speed.
Oh, no, you're good there. That's good. If you slow it down.
Ashley Larson, Ham Lake, Minnesota, 6006.
And that's her first donation. So
you've been de-douched.
Oh, Tom Woods donation, by the way. Tom Woods donation.
Sir Don Francis in Chandler, Arizona, 6006. I'm losing my voice.
Man, it's not good.
You take it. Take it out.
All right. Sir Don Francis, Chandler, Arizona, small boob, 6006. We have Jason Cooper, Rock Hill, South Carolina, also small boob, 6006. Thank you for your courage. Peter Chong, Lakewood, Washington, double nickels on the dime, 55.10. Alan Asaf, Fouquet Varina, North Carolina, and it's also his birthday, 50 trips around the sun, and you're on the list, of course. Then we get 55 from Troy Funderburk, Spokane, Washington, and Kurt Labanowski in Ramsey, New Jersey. I've been to Ramsey. Chris Kimmich in Saxe. I know I'm doing that wrong. Texas, 53-33. Then we have Adam Bergener in Copperas Cove, Texas. I should know all these names. First time dono, please de-douche me.
You've been de-douched.
Mr. Robot.
Right, I'll take the rest of them.
Go for it.
Forrest Scott Brinkley is our first $50 donor, and he's one of many. We're going to just wrap through him. He's in Christiansburg, Virginia. Jake Schofield in Yankeetown, Florida. Shauna Norberg in Seattle. Scott McCarty in Lodi. Brian Hummel in Wimberley, Texas, another Texan. Shane Morrison in Clark, New Jersey. Josh. I always say Joss. That's like Joss. That's the director. Josh Springer in Indianapolis, Indiana. Douglas Ellis in New York City. Andrew Butterfield in Bettendorf, Iowa. Charles Boyd in San Marcos, Texas. The Tax Squad in Columbus, Georgia. John Walter in Wenatchee, Washington. And wrapping it up is Brandon Moore in Bristol, Virginia, and he needs a de-douching, and that'll do it.
You've been de-douched.
All right. Thank you all very much for your support. We appreciate that highly, although we're still down to one donation segment, but we'll live. And we, of course, have nighting and meetups coming up. But I would like to remind you, this is a value-for-value proposition, this whole thing. Without you, there's no show. Vice versa. Without us, there's no value, no reason to send anything, and we're all dead. So please support the show. Learn more here.
Dvorak.org/NA.
Thank you all for supporting us here. Episode 1533 of No Agenda Show.
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
Shut up, Slade. And the service goat karma that was promised earlier.
You've got karma.
Just three birthdays on the list. Angela Pickering will be celebrating in a couple of days on the 28th of February. But John Craig turns 54 today, and Alan Asaf turns 50. He sees Abraham today. Happy birthday, everybody, from the best podcast in the universe. It's your
birthday,
yeah.
Title changes, turning faces,
ladies. Title changes.
Don't
want to
be a douchebag.
No douchebaggery here. Sir NBS, who I think is from the Chicago area, or maybe even further away, he supports us with an additional $1,000 in aggregate. It's on the honor system, but we trust you. And he becomes a baron today. Baron NBS of the trading floor. Welcome to the baronhood, and welcome to the higher notch on the peerage, good sir. Thank you very much. We have, ow. Hurt myself. That's what I was looking for. I have a sword. We have one knight, one lonely knight. So if you have a lonely knight blade.
I got the lonely knight blade right here. It's black and white.
Oh, it's pretty. I like it. There we go. And that lonely knight blade is for Robert Wood. Robert, please step on up here on the podium. You've supported the No Agenda Show in the amount of $1,000 or more. Very proud now to pronounce the as Sir Robert of the Freehold. There's the chunks on your neck, sir. For you, we have... Well, of course, hookers and blow, rent boys and Chardonnay. We've got brisket and bock. Nothing like a little bit of shiner for you on a Sunday morning. Along with that, you could also choose from Redheads and Rye, organic macaroni and plasticizers, beer and blunts, Brazilian hotties and cachaça, cowgirls and coffin varnish, Rubenesque women and rosé, geishas and sake, vodka and vanilla, bong hits and bourbon, sparkling cider and escort, ginger ale and gerbils, breast milk and pavlum. But of course, we all always come for the mutton and for the mead. I see you're already enjoying the mead. After you've wiped wiped your chin, go over to noagendanation.com/rings. Everybody can see the handsome No Agenda Knight and Dame rings that we have over there. They are beautiful. They're authentic. They're unique. You can wear them to the meetups. You can wear them to the office. You can wear them on a chain around your neck. You can propose marriage with them. They're good for all kinds of things. And also with the enclosed wax, you can seal your important correspondence because it's a signet ring. And it comes with a very official looking certificate of authenticity. Thank you for becoming a knight of the No Agenda Roundtable.
No Agenda Meetup.
We have two reports today. One is the belated one from Central Ohio, which I rejected and sent back to the cutting room floor, and they did a pretty good job.
This is Wild Bill of Ohio coming to you recorded from Smokehouse Brewing in the morning to you, gentlemen.
In the morning, this is Mark reporting from Columbus. This meetup has been a great time, nothing but good vibes. Thank you for your courage.
This is Mary Rose. Thanks so much, Adam and John, for everything you guys do.
This is Sir Leary. I know where the scooters are in the river.
Hi, this is Deb. Really enjoying my time here. People should go to their local meetup.
In the morning, and this is Bob.
In the morning, Meg CC.
In the morning, this is Josh.
And Adam and John, Matt had to go take a smoke. He says the polar bears are doing fine.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Passable. Now, the next report is a little bit longer, but it was the Propaganda Palace Hurricane Ian Survivor Support Group. And they also sent some pictures, and it's Circumcised Guardian of the Fat Point and Dame Zill. Their house it's almost like a No Agenda shrine. They have artwork which has been professionally printed and framed. It's everywhere. They made beautiful snacks. I mean, it's an incredible. I wish they would publish that at noagendameetups.com. It really, they went all out, and a lot of people showed up.
In the morning, coming at you from the Propaganda Palace, this is the Hurricane Ian Survivor Support Group, hosted by Dame Zill in a dress and
Circumcised Guardian of the Fat Point, and I smoke some meats today.
Hi, this is Lala Lisa from Sarasota. I'm not a dame, but I'm not a douchebag, and this is my first meetup, and I'm feeling jitty.
In the morning, this is Sir Scatman, formerly of Norristown.
This is Dame Rachel.
Sir Edward Jacobs, Knight of the Appalachian Piedmont, John and Adam, thank you. We appreciate you. Thanks for 15 years. We're looking forward to 15 more.
This is Austin, here courtesy of the Scatman, certified douchebag. shout out my mom.
This is Mike from Rotunda. It's a scam.
Dame Elemental, Gypsy of the Manasota Key.
This is Christy from Rotunda.
This is Maddie, and I listen to No Agenda mainly on my Podcasting 2.0 app, like, all day long.
This is Kim from Fort Myers.
Good one.
I do say fraudulent fraud.
This is Mike, formerly of Rotunda, now of Port Charlotte, trying to start up a Bitcoin mining support group.
EJOSRQ here, and definitely not a Fed.
All right, Zach from North Fort Myers here. Thank you for bringing so many beautiful and wonderful people together.
Citizen Water Czar, No Agenda. The Florida water quality crisis is real.
Hi, it's Valerie. Thank you.
Eric Adler, and I do believe China is asshole.
Now, well, there you go. Long one. By the way, John, you might want to consider a mute button or something. I mean, you're like unwrapping. I don't know what you were unwrapping. You Christmas gifts.
That was the lozenge. It's got this foil on it, and it sticks to the thing, and it's old, and then it's hard to get off, and it makes a lot of racket.
And you're just making a lot of noise. If you are in Derby, Connecticut, you probably are just wrapping up the Batson's Beer Company meetup, the linkage of the amygdala shrinkage. However, on this coming Thursday, you can be marching into the Golden Gulag get-together at 6:30 at Lincoln's Roadhouse in Denver, Colorado, or the Shawangunk Ridge meetup. I was probably wrong. Bacchus Restaurant Brewery and Billiards in New Paltz, New York. Those are the ones that are scheduled. I'm just looking at the list here. We have through March and April, Wageningen in the Netherlands. We've got, let's see what I'm looking for. any other foreign countries. Osaka, Japan. I mean, it's all over. These meetups are phenomenal. They are something you have to witness. I guarantee you, you go to one, you want to go back. These are connections that people make. And especially when you see like the propaganda palace, these people, you would never expect them to be together in a group. We're different. We're from all different walks of life, but we have some community in common, and you should go and witness that for yourself, because connection like that is always protection. NoAgendaMeetups.com. If you can't find one near you, start one. It's easy. Always a party. Sometimes you want to go hang out with all the nights and days. Where you won't be triggered on hell's flame. You wanna be where everybody feels the same. It's like a party. So you can be okay with that throat? I mean, I don't like how that cough sounds.
You mean that was me hitting a drum?
Yes. Yeah. I just don't like the cough.
I don't even like the cough either.
Okay. Well, don't like it. I only have one ISO and I don't feel good about it. I'll play it.
You idiot. You're a genius.
That's all I've got. That's all I've got.
I have one ISO.
Okay. It's this one.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing.
Yeah. No, I think that'll win. We can do that.
That's number two for me.
Oh, we're keeping track now, are we?
I'm keeping track of all the ones that Biden I can slip in.
Okay. Let's see. What do we have to wrap this up?
Now, I have a bunch of Bernie clips from the last show that I wanted to play.
Bernie?
Yeah, Bernie's a douchebag.
You mean Bernie Sanders?
Yeah.
Why? Just because it's an idiot saying idiotic stuff? I mean, I'll play it. Okay. What do you have?
Look up Bernie's on the media.
Yep, got it.
Now, the one you have to worry about that you might not find is Benny the Worm. I left the R out.
Well, do you want me? Which one do you want me to get, the Bernie or the Benny?
No, I want the Bernie's first. The Benny's the last one.
Okay, all right.
So here's Bernie on the media. Oops.
You also talk about a new deal for journalism and rethinking of the role of public and community media in the United States. You're very harsh on the media, as we talked about, including, you mentioned this network, you mentioned Washington Post, you do.
Didn't I say all kinds of nice things about you?
No, some other journalists here. You did give a shout out to Kara Korte and some other reporters.
Not keeping track.
What?
She names her name.
Sorry.
She must have been irked by that.
Okay.
So he wants to subsidize the media like they do in Canada.
Oh, okay. Now I see what this is about. All right. Yes, of course. That makes total
sense.
This
is the kind of thing you got to be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
Here he is on the media number two.
Kara Korte and some other reporters. But you say, you take direct aim at the media for not asking the questions that you think need to be asked. How do you, on this New Deal idea, how can you have the U.S. government in any way involved with the media and direct funding when trust in the government is so low in this country and trust in media is low?
Okay, two issues, two separate issues.
Two issues.
Number one, what I say in the book is that, look, I have done 1,000 interviews like I'm doing with you right now. And nobody has ever come up to me, not one reporter, not you, not anybody else, has said, Bernie, why are we spending twice as much on health care as any other country, and yet we have 85 million uninsured or uninsured? How many programs have CBS, NBC, ABC had on why we have a dysfunctional healthcare system? Does that have anything to do with who owns the major networks? Bernie, what are you going to do about income and wealth inequality? Do you demand? Why are billionaires paying an effective tax rate lower than working class people? No one asked me those questions. Okay.
No one tells us the questions to ask.
I understand that, but there's a culture in the media. No one tells people who work for me not to vote for Donald Trump.
Did you hear her say nobody told us to ask you that?
Yes. Of course I heard that. Yeah. You mean the PR person, the campaign person, the book PR person?
Yeah. They always give you a list of things to ask in these interviews.
Yes.
Always.
Yeah. They usually, with the book, it comes in a little insert. Suggestions for questions.
Yeah. So I thought that was funny. But then we get this one. This one's kind of interesting. Listen to Bernie kind of circumventing this comment that he makes. This is Bernie and the robot tax and Gates.
Of large multinational corporations are saying, look, we can do this. We can get rid of all these people over here. We can make even more money. So we're talking about a transformational moment throughout the world in the United States. I want working people to be involved. And if we come up with a technology, I'm not anti-technology. If there is a technology that can do increased worker productivity, who benefits from that? Just the guy who owns the company, or does the worker benefit? So if we can reduce the work week, is that a bad thing? It's a good thing. But I don't want to see the people on top simply be the only beneficiaries of this revolution in technology.
So you agree with Bill Gates and taxing robots?
That's one way to do it. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, he's a billionaire you do like.
He's. I've talked to Bill on a number of occasions. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But.
Okay.
Screw he's this a billionaire guy. You do like.
Screw this guy.
I've talked to him.
Yeah.
Now, here's Bernie the Worm. This is a clip. I just got the biggest kick out of this. She actually goes after him. I think she's irked by the fact that she wasn't mentioned in the book and this other woman who she apparently knows.
She's irked that she wasn't mentioned in the book? Who is she? Who is she?
Yeah. Sorry?
Who is she that we did? Why would she be mentioned in the book?
Because apparently Bernie mentions a bunch of journalists in the book.
No, this is pathetic. It's pathetic we're even playing it, but okay, let's go. Bernie and the Worm.
Yeah. But I have to ask you, you're going on tour to promote this book, It's Okay to Be Angry About Capitalism. And you're here talking about it. I understand we're not the bad guys you're describing in the book when it comes to media, but tickets for your tour apparently are selling for $95 on Ticketmaster, which is accused of anti-competitive behavior. You know that some of your Democrats are criticizing them. Aren't you benefiting yourself from this system that you're trying to dismantle?
First of all, those decisions are made totally by the publisher and the bookseller. I think there's one case where in one place here in Washington, politics and prose and independent books are charging some tickets. Most of them, I think, are $40, $50, and you get a book as well. So if you want to come, you're going to have to pay $40. I'll throw in the book for free. And we're doing a number of free events, but I don't make a nickel out of these things.
But you're okay doing business with Ticketmaster?
No, not particularly, but that's, again, I have nothing to do with that. That is, if you wrote a book, it'd probably be the same process.
Mm-hmm. Oh, why didn't you go back to, you have three houses? That's much more effective than Ticketmaster.
Well, I thought it was interesting that to see Bernie give book talk, you had to pay $95.
Oh, sure. But
and he gets nothing? Are you kidding me? Who's getting all that money? That's what she should have asked. Well, if you're not getting the $95, who's getting the money? What's he going to say? The publisher? I've never heard of this. This is not in the any publishing business I've ever seen where the publisher is whoring out their authors and taking all the money. What author's going to put up with that?
Well, the one who signed the dummy contract. Hello. That would be Bernie.
I can't see him signing a dummy contract.
He's an idiot. I ban him now from the show.
Well.
Yes. You successfully turned me off from him so bad now. This guy has zero relevance.
He still has a lot of influence over Alexandria Cortez, you predicted would be president of the United States, if I'm not mistaken.
Stay tuned for that. 2024 is on deck. I said she would be a great president for the show, not for the country. And you should be hoping that she becomes president.
Well, I don't see that in the cards.
No.
Somebody out there get me the clip where he predicts she will be president and not for the show. Come on, you can do it. Israeli moon bases.
Wow. All more entertaining than those clips. Okay?
Well,
you can't
if you
argue
can find
that.
The Israeli moon bases clip, yeah, maybe.
Coming up next on noagendastream.com, we have a live show. It is, it's Bowls with Buds, live with the pod sage, Dave Jones of Podcasting 2.0. They're doing it lit, of course. End of show mixes, Rolando Gonzalez, Tom Starkweather, and Hey Citizen, coming to you from the heart of the Texas Hill Country here in FEMA Region Number 6. In the morning, everybody, Israeli moon bases are real. I'm Adam Curry.
and from Northern Silicon Valley, where it's raining right now. I'm John C. Dvorak.
We return on Thursday right here on No Agenda. Please remember us at Dvorak.org/NA. Value for value, people. Until then, adios, mofos. Have a good hooey hooey and as such.
And so the saga continues.
I've been hearing a lot about Peppa Pig lately.
I have nothing to do with that.
This is blatant sexism.
I have nothing to do with that.
The rain genie is coming back.
I have nothing to do with that.
It's okay to be angry about capitalism.
It's not just a bloody kids show. It has a lot of layers to it.
$40 I'll throw in the book for free.
Not a joke.
Now I'm gonna burst your bubble, everybody.
I have nothing to do with that.
Now I'm gonna burst your bubble, everybody.
Bernie, what are you gonna do about income and wealth inequality?
Now I'm gonna burst your bubble, everybody.
And so the saga continues.
And as always, this show's about you, my brothers and sisters.
We got receipts, people.
And we're pushed to the fringes of alt-right lunacy.
Now I'm gonna burst your bubble, everybody.
I have nothing to do with it.
What a crock of shit that is.
Quick story.
The show is full of symbolic elements that represent the child's mind.
Now I'm gonna burst your bubble, everybody.
Just help me understand.
I have nothing to do with it.
You are a liar. A podcast liar.
I'm a liar in chief.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm gonna burst your bubble, everybody.
We've faced issues from container shipping to airline cancellations. Now we got balloons.
That's right.
But most of all, you got a community that's been through a lot that I think is pretty frustrated with people trying to take political advantage of this situation.
I have followed the norm in the first days of the crash response of staying out of the way of the independent NTSB, the National Transportation Safety Board.
Maybe I got that timing right, maybe not. But the most important thing for me right now is that that doesn't wind up allowing people to change the subject and block needed rail regulation.
Why are there so many cardiac injuries killing young people worldwide? What new anomaly is causing heart inflammation? We simply don't know at this time. What new discoveries will some more long-term studies expose in a decade or three? Someday we'll find it, the COVID connection, the media, big pharma, and me. We can't jump to conclusions. We need more information as to what could cause heart failures to rise. You may find some controversy surrounds vaccination, but Pfizer has nothing to hide. Some crackpots will say the spike protein's the culprit, but I know they're wrong, wait and see. Someday we'll find it, the COVID connection, the media, big pharma, and me.
Dvorak.org/NA. Thank you, thank you, thank you for what you're doing.